$9.
Have a nice forecast with lots of sunshine forecast and temperature 65 to 70. And Steve Kahn, the weather just gets better with each home game that we're playing this year at Yale.
Well, that's because the team's doing so well.
I guess so.
We bring a 5-1 record into the game today with a chance to get a leg up on the Ivy League race. So with Pennant, we should have a good crowd today and another hopefully great game.
Did the Yale fans or the Yale coaching staff think that you'd have this good of a record into the season like this?
Well, we were picked to finish anywhere from third to fourth in the preseason polls, most of the ones that you saw in the national publications. But I think our coaches had expectations as high as this, and certainly we could be undefeated if not for a couple of strange plays in the opener.
Hey, what would you attribute it most of all to, you know, the record of 5-1?
Good, strong senior class and some excellent coaching.
How does Penn do? I mean, that's not that far away. Actually, I'm from South Jersey, so it's not that far of a drive. But will we see many Penn fans here today driving up from Philadelphia?
They usually have a fairly strong contingency with them. I think today you'll see a pretty good amount because of the weather forecast and the fact that they're also 2-1 in the league, and they're tied with four other teams in the league for first place.
Now, I know it's down the road. It's the 20th of November, but any predictions on the game that's coming up?
Well, the predictions are right now that we're just hoping right now, actually, that both teams come into this game with the title on the line. That hasn't happened in a long time. Last year, we had a shot at it at the end of the season if we had someone, some bounces go our way, but we haven't had both teams come in with a chance at the title in a long time. So if that were to happen, we'd be looking at quite a big crowd, I think, for both final games.
Not to mention that it's the final, the game of the century, of the millennium, and all of that.
That's great promotion. We appreciate that. We certainly want to get as many people out here as we can, and we'll be doing all kinds of things to promote the game. Not that it really requires that much.
Talk about getting people out to the game. I went to my son's parent-teacher conference the other day. He goes to school up in Bristol, and I have him for the weekend. We're driving into the game today, and he tells me that he could expect to see a lot of his classmates here today because you have a lot of kids coming down from Ivy Drive School in Bristol. Now, that's not exactly Yale territory up there. How does this come about?
Well, our marketing guys are doing a great job in getting out all over the community and outside the community. So people are hearing about it, and I'm sure it's a trickle-down effect, and people get word-of-mouth advertising, and it's been really wonderful for this this event.
Do you have a specific program, though, that goes out into the schools, not only here in the New Haven area, and we have a group of girls we're going to talk to that I think have been out here for a number of years, but do you go out into the other surrounding portions of our state to talk about Yale athletics?
Yeah, part of the athletic department staff, community outreach and marketing, does that as a priority during their week's work. And they go out to the schools, they do clinics, they go talk to coaches, they bring athletes out there, they do all kinds of things to get kids in here, including the NYSP, the camps in the summertime, the national youth sports programs, and everything else. So they really do a great job in getting people to university who then go back to their communities and tell people what a great thing it was, and you got to come out and see it for yourself.
Of course, we alluded to the fact that we're drawing people from the other end of the state, but in all objectivity, Connecticut's not the biggest state on the map. So to say that we're drawing from the other end of the state, I mean, a lot of universities draw from that that much mileage within a county, actually, if you go out into the Midwest or other parts of our country.
Sure. And some people want to compare what things that are going on at UConn, but it's different here. It's easier to draw from the local communities here. Logistically, it's much easier to get from the other counties than it is to go up to stores.
Right.
So where we're located is certainly an advantageous spot for us.
Right. Now, you mentioned the NYS.
And that's National Youth Sports Program.
Right, and that's what some of these young women over here have been participating in. Before we talk to them, exactly what is the program all about?
The program is a thing that was given to us from the NCAA, grant money, to put together this program. Yale Athletics Department staff, coaches, and athletes work together to provide sports opportunities on campus using Yale Athletics facilities to have these kids come in, no charge to the kids. They work with the counselors and coaches and athletes here at Yale and get to spend a couple of weeks on campus doing those kinds of activities and experiencing the real Yale athletics experience.
Now, does this happen for just a specific time during the year, like this two-week period, or is it on like a rotating basis throughout the year?
Actually, this is more of a reunion-type celebration from what's happened this summer. It goes on during the summer for a couple of weeks, and this group here is our people that participated in during this past summer.
We're going to get over and talk to them in just a minute, but while I have you here, and I know you have a lot of responsibilities here before each and every game and throughout the week as well, promoting Yale athletics, what will it be like here in the Hospitality Village on the 20th of November?
Well, there's three tents out here right now, three large tents. There'll be at least 17 more of these out here, and you can just imagine. There'll be 20 overall, at least. At least 20, and with good weather, it's going to be quite an atmosphere.
I've had people asking me since the beginning of the season for tickets for the Harvard game.
Well, I hope they keep asking you.
Yeah, I give them your phone number.
I appreciate that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Let's get some of these young women to come over and speak with us from the program, and you can help fill in the blanks here as to what exactly they've experienced, if you don't mind, Steve. And we're talking, this is the Girls Sports Clinic from the NYSP here at Yale University. First of all, wait, are you a Yankee fan?
Yes.
Are you glad they won the World Series?
Yes.
Can I ask you something, though?
What?
You know that's not the Yankees' colors. It's not. What color would you say that is?
This is lime green and blue and white.
When they're out on the field, you don't see Derek Jeter out there in lime green, do you?
No.
Huh?
No.
See, as an old guy, I just can't get past the, day glow orange and the lime green Yankee colors. I don't know. But I guess it's cool, right?
Yes.
As long as you're a Yankee fan, that's the cool part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch a lot of the series?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's your favorite player?
Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter?
Yes.
I think most girls like Derek Jeter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And he's a good guy, too. You know, not only is he a good player, but he's a good individual, which is a kind of a good role model, don't you think?
Yes.
All right. Now, what's your favorite sport?
Softball.
I haven't asked you your name yet. I'm sorry.
Jennifer Singleton.
Okay. And Jennifer, what school do you go to?
Career.
All right. Now, how often have you come to the camp here at Yale?
2 years.
Yeah, and I hope you've played some softball or learned about that.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your position?
Bat catcher.
Yeah, you're catcher.
Yes.
All right, you good?
Yes.
All right. What do you like better, Fasano or Girardi?
Girardi.
You might not be back. So I think you better be liking Fasano if you're going to remain a Yankee fan. All right. Now, what kind of things do you learn in camp? Anyone else want to answer?
No.
Jennifer's over here thinking about Derek Jeter. She's busy. All right, what's your name?
Michelle Barnes.
Okay, Michelle, what school do you go to?
Cross.
All right. And what have you done? What have you participated here in the program?
The sports clinic and the camp.
Now, what do you do in camp? I mean, besides having sports-related things, what kind of activities do you do?
You learn about all different kinds of sports, and you have alcohol drug class, you have dance class, and then you have an educational class. And this year they added a math and science and swimming.
They added math, science, and swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. That sounds like you're pretty busy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not too busy that it's not fun, is it?
It's fun.
It's fun. Okay. And you do it for how long? For 2 weeks?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Wow, so that's a lot of time. That's a big commitment, right?
Yeah, the counselors and the Yale students are real nice.
All right. Now, where do the counselors come from? Are they in the Yale athletic program, Steve, in the camp?
The counselors come from all over, from the community, from coaching staff, from the student athletes here, and the athletic department staff.
Okay. I just saw a young woman here with a big old Yankee emblem. You can tell I'm a Yankee fan. That's why I'm singling out the Yankee fans here. What's your name?
Teresa Henninger.
And Teresa, where do you go to school?
Sound.
All right. And how often have you come to the camp here? For how long?
2 years.
For 2 years? What's been the... wait a minute. Your pants are autographed. Did you ask these people to sign your pants, or did people just walk up and sign your jeans?
Oh, I have a friend sign it at school.
Oh, can I sign them?
Oh, I have a pen.
Oh, well, I have a pen. I always carry a pen. I just, all right. What was the coolest part about attending camp here?
Playing the sports that the teachers had to play.
Yeah. What's your favorite sport? If you were going to be a professional athlete, what would be your favorite? Or even as a college athlete, what would you want to concentrate most on?
Volleyball.
On volleyball. Are you better at setting it up or spiking it or what?
Spiking and setting it up. And
yeah?
It.
That's fun. I can still almost play volleyball. Not very well, but... So you play that during camp as well here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you make friends from other schools that you look forward to coming back year after year?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you keep in touch even though you go to different schools?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. You offering me a bag of potato chips? Thank you very much. You know radio guys. Anytime you're around a radio guy, just offer them free food, and they're your buddy. What's your name?
Denise Dawkins.
And where do you go to school?
In
the
high.
All right. And what have you enjoyed most about the program here?
Well, you get to meet a lot of the different people from different schools, and you learn all these different kind of sports that you know how to play.
And what sport did you learn more about that you didn't know that much about before?
Lacrosse.
Yeah? What is it? Explain lacrosse. What's up with that?
It's like this thick, and it has like a net thing, and you have to hold the ball.
You know the history of lacrosse? You know who first played it?
Yeah.
Anybody?
No.
I think it was Native Americans played it, right? Did you learn that in camp?
No.
I think it was like in the Great Nations there in the northern plains, right, Steve? Started at lacrosse. Well, let's wonder who's going to win your bag of potato chips. All right, so what else did you learn about the sport?
It's hard because you have to, like, pick up the ball. You can't use your hands at all. You have to scoop up the ball. You can't use your hands.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn about all the rules and everything about the game like that?
Yeah.
It's an unusual sport, but a lot of people play it. And here at Yale, it's very popular, and they have a darn good team.
Yeah.
So what else? And do you keep in touch with all your friends here?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you're on the phone a lot, you write letters, you email each other from... You what?
Me and Shanice met at the camp.
So now you're friends even though you live in different parts of town?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of nice. Right?
Yeah.
What about the other things that you learned here at camp, other than the sports? You talked about the drug and alcohol education. What did you learn about that that you might not have learned in school? Anything in particular? Or?
No, not. They talk about the same thing that we did in school. Like, when I went to camp, we watched this movie called Friday. The show, it was talking about drugs and stuff, so.
Now, how old are most of you? What's the average age here? You're what? Who's the youngest? 14? 10? Okay. You can talk. We're on radio. Holding up fingers is, and I don't count real well, so I gotta go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, you're 10. All right. So you're 10 up to about 14. Did the stuff that you heard about drug and alcohol, did it make an impact?
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, do you take that seriously, or do you just say, oh, man, more preaching?
Or seriously.
Yeah, well, that's good. Do you think most young men and women your age do?
Probably.
Or at least they should, right?
Yeah, they should.
Yeah. Now, how many are in your group here today?
Like, about 10 right now.
10? Yeah, boy. Yeah, but you have a whole 10 here.
Yeah.
Like you're having a good... 70. So 60 of your friends would rather get a good seat than to come in and talk with Jerry here on WELI. What's your name?
Queen Edwards.
And are you one of the counselors of the program?
I'm the activity director of the National Youth Sports Program at Yale University.
Wow. Then you're in.
Yes.
You're in. Well, I've enjoyed talking to the young women here. They've been telling us about the program and what they've done on their summers here at Yale University. And this is, as Steve Kahn pointed out, kind of a reunion weekend.
Yes, today what we're having is the NYSP Day, where we invite all our participants that are involved in the summer to come back and enjoy one of the Yale athletic events. And today we're watching the Yale football game against Pennsylvania.
I think it's one of the great things about Yale University that they are so involved with the community. It's not just a university, it's just not a sports program, but it's certainly an integral part of the community.
Yes, they're involved with the kids throughout the year, not only during the summer, but just keeping in contact with the participants all throughout the year while they're in school, and also a good part of the summer.
Now, the young women here have also talked about the fact that even though they attend different schools, by attending the camp at Yale, that they've kept in touch and have developed friendships that transcend different sections of the New Haven area, where they're friends despite the fact that they don't attend school together.
Yes, it gives the girls a good chance to come back and meet other girls from different neighborhoods and different activity groups, and just to get to learn non-traditional sports, not only during the academic year, but also during the summer. The National Youth Sports Program is a 5-week program that's held at Yale University over the summer.
All right. Hey, who's going to win the game today, girls?
Yale!
I just thought I'd check. All right. You know, believe it or not, we actually have some people from Penn hanging out, and just to be fair, we thought we'd talk to them for maybe 10 seconds. So we'll talk with them after the break. Give yourselves a big round of applause for your accomplishments here, Yale. And we thank you for talking with us here on the WELI tailgate party. This is Jerry Christopher. 22 after 12 o'clock, Carm Koza and Dick Galliott up in the press box. They'll have the pregame at 12:40, and, of course, the kickoff at 1 o'clock here on the home of the Yale Elis, News Talk 960 WELI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Why 2K or not 2Y? That is the question.
we can't answer. But we do know that we're giving you a chance to cash in on almost $100,000 in debt reduction.
It's the WELI Y2K credit card.
Weekday winners could each win up to $2,000 of credit card debt paid off. Cash in on almost $100,000 in credit card debt reduction. It's the WELI Y2K credit card. Wipe out. From News Talk 960 WELI.
Hi, this is Jerry Christopher, host of the WELI Morning Show, asking you to support my upcoming 6th annual Caravan of Carriages to benefit our hungry neighbors served by the Connecticut Food Bank. Our 6K Caravan of Carriages will begin at 1 p.m. on Sunday, November 14th from Super Stop and Shop on Hemingway in East Haven and proceed over to the Connecticut Food Bank. We need your help. We're counting on you. For complete details on how you can get involved, simply call me right here at News Talk 960 WELI.
The Bulldogs return to the bowl to take on the Bakers of Pennsylvania. Hi, this is Dick Galliott reminding you to join Tom Cozen and me for all the action. Yale football is sponsored by the New Haven Savings Bank, Rector's Tap Room, Prudential Securities, and Schaefer Hotel Properties. At Yale versus Penn, kickoff 1 p.m. Jerry Christopher hosts the tailgate show starting at 12:05. Our pregame show starts at 12:40 on News Talk 960 WELI.
Jerry Christopher.
Yeah, hi, Jerry. Donald Trump here. Now, normally, I only want the biggest, the best costumes of the world.
Right.
But this Halloween, I'm going to put on a sheep with a couple of eye holes cut out of it.
Yeah.
This means I'm going as fast as I can, obviously.
It's the WELI Morning Show with Jerry Christopher on News Talk 960 WELI. Now, back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Good afternoon. It's 25 after 12. Jerry Christopher back live at the Hospitality Village next to Yale Bowl with a bunch of guys from Naugatuck. What's that up in the sky?
That looks like, to me, it looks like someone kicked a football up there.
Is this the one parachute? What is that? I just noticed that.
It looks like a parasail, doesn't it, Jerry?
It does. It looks like it's a parasail, I think. You guys come down to a lot of the games, or?
Yes, we do, Jerry. In fact, we have a great time down here. We look forward to coming down to the Yale games, and actually all the New Haven games, the Southern and UConn, we go to a bunch of them.
A lot of good college football in the area, right?
Oh, I agree with that, definitely. Being a referee, I get to see a lot of it myself.
I was wondering why you're wearing a black and white shirt here today. That kind of
Well, actually, if you notice, Jerry, I have a white shirt with a Yale.
That's good.
And you didn't even notice that. I'm surprised.
That's a good thing. Well, I'm not very observant, you know. I'm keen, but I'm not keenly observant. I'm just keen, but not observant. How many games do you make it down to each year?
Well, probably about 3 Yale games, and used to go to UConn for one and then Southern for one. So we get about 5 games during the fall season.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Any predictions on the game against Penn?
Well, I think it's all Yale.
There you go. Okay, guys. I'll let you get back to your tailgating there. Thanks for talking with us on the WELI tailgate party. Well, the fans are streaming in here to the bowl kickoff at 1 o'clock, the pregame at 12:40. And, you know, we have the hospitality tents a lot of corporations put up, have their employees and clients come out to. But then we have just families that come out on blankets. And we have, I would presume, one such family sitting here having their own tailgate party. That or they're just five perfect strangers that are sharing food together. Let me, is that the case? What's your name?
Dave Jarvey.
And this is?
Jarvey.
And?
Okay.
And?
Elise.
And?
Lindsay.
All right. And they were all talking with their mouths full, but that's okay. It's radio. It doesn't matter. Let me move down here. Let me step on you there. Where's your family from?
Trumbull.
From Trumbull. Do you come out to a lot of the games?
First one in probably about 5 years.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, it's surprising the number of people who went to Yale games with their parents or grandparents in this area, but really, you know, they get wrapped up in their family and their jobs and what have you, and really haven't been back for a long time.
That is true.
You have tickets?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do. I got a bunch of them in my back pocket that are just burning a hole in it, and I just feel reluctant to not have them go to good use, so I'm going to just give them away to, you know, a bunch of people that will come walking up here, maybe. So, of course, not from Penn, though. We wouldn't want to do that.
No, I would say not.
Do you follow Yale football, even though you haven't been out to the games in a while?
I think they're having a pretty good season this year.
They're having a darn good season, yeah.
We're looking forward to the game.
How about you kids? When's the last time you were at a college football game?
This is my first.
How old are you?
8.
Hey, okay. So he was 3 last time you were out.
matter of fact, it was more than 8 years ago that we were here. Probably 10 years ago.
So this is your first?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Oh, you have candy for me because I'm wearing this mask.
No.
This is a fake nose. It's not. They don't make them this big in real life. It's fake. I take off my glasses. My nose comes off. I can put my hair on backwards.
Okay,
give me your candy, kid. All right. Which school do you go to?
Trimble.
Yeah? What grade do you in?
Three.
And how's school?
I'm good.
Yeah? Do you look forward to coming out and doing stuff like this with your mom and dad on weekend?
No.
No? I think you're going to have a lot of fun. Don't you think watching a game with your sisters and your mom and dad would be cool? Yeah. All right.
I have two sisters. That's my sister's friend.
Oh, that's your sister's friend. She's just mooching. I mean, she just came along with you.
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, it's nice to do family stuff like this on weekends, don't you think?
Yeah.
What would you be doing if you weren't here at a Yale football game? What would you be doing? Oh, that's a good thing.
No, it isn't.
Oh, you mean the way he does it?
The way I do it.
Oh, the way
he does it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just pray for wind and hope they blow into your neighbor's yard.
That never happens.
The wind never blows the right way, does it?
No.
All right. Well, listen, we'll let you get back to eating your Kit Kat bar. That's one of the five major food groups, you know. There's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Three Musketeer bars, Kit Kat. That's the three, you know, the food pyramid you learn about in school. I think that's at the top. Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, listen, have fun at the game today, kids, okay? Nice meeting y'all. Who are you rooting for?
Yeah.
All right. Just wanted to check or we'd have you thrown out of here. So. All right. Thanks for talking with us. Now, we have, there's the Penn Van. All right. I think we have a Penn fan over here. They're over buying a Yale credit card so they can get a free... Right, see, you line up guests and they turn their back on you. Well, we'll get to them. What's your name?
Betty.
Where you from, Betty? Do you mind if I... Hey, look at all the snacks you have. Sure. I'm just walking around mooching food from people. That's part of the gig. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Oh, man. Okay. Now, you went to Penn?
No, my kids.
Oh, your kids did. Okay, all right. Now, who's here? Introduce the who's on your blanket.
Okay.
I feel like I should bump into a Annette Funicello and, you know.
This is my eldest. Oh, thank you.
Sorry
about that. That's my eldest son. That's Mickey. That's his wife, Sherry.
How do you do?
That's my daughter, Rachel.
Hey, Rach.
And that's my son, Daniel.
Hey, Dan.
And Rachel and Daniel went to Penn.
Oh, okay. Oh, and you. Well, pull up a blade of grass and pull up part of your blanket. I might need you all to help me get back up. So come on down so we can chat for a few seconds here. Dick Elliott and Carm Koza begin the pregame in just 10 minutes from the press box. And, of course, the kickoff and play-by-play at 1 o'clock on WELI, home of the Yale Eli football team. Now, you went to both Penn and Yale.
Uh-huh.
Now, you went to Penn and then Yale grad school?
Yeah, Penn undergrad, Yale grad.
All right. What was your major? Nursing school, down at Penn.
It was the nursing school.
At Yale?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Now, what do you do now?
I'm a nurse practitioner at Yale.
At Yale. Okay. What was your experience like down at Penn?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I loved it. I love Philadelphia.
You're just saying that because the band just walked by.
No. Penn is a great school to go to. So is Yale. I mean, but I grew up around here. It's a little different. Getting to go to Philadelphia was kind
of
nice.
Ate a lot of tasty cakes and cheesesteak hoagies.
Ate a lot of crimpets.
Butterscotch crimpets.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. And
I have an office loaded with those. I actually still have them shipped up here. No, I have them mailed up here.
And us potato chips, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you like better?
That and, yeah, Patagino's for cheesesteak.
Don't say
Jim. No, Billy Bob's is right across the street from campus. Yeah, you don't want to have that microphone.
Oh, yeah, unless you're from Philadelphia, the street around. What are they talking about? They have enough problems understanding what I'm talking about, let alone, getting them geographically lost. So now we have a family split here on the game today. Is that it?
We're already for Lafayette.
See that? That plays well.
We're in the wrong place.
Oh, shoot. We're in the wrong turn somewhere.
Yeah. But it's a nice day, so, it really doesn't matter. So, now, which team do you follow more? Because you're here, I would imagine you follow Yale more, right?
I go to more Yale games, yeah.
Have you followed the team outside of just coming out? Have you followed the team this year?
I kind of have to.
You got arrested for following the team? Where did you follow the team?
3 in the morning.
Yeah, there's following the team, and then there's following the team. And you were following the team.
And then the team turned around and followed her, which is a problem.
This could be more interesting than the game today, I think. I don't know.
Pick the wrong family to come talk to.
I guess so. Boy, we have our WELI news department investigating the wrong stories. We're doing all this preliminary stuff for Election Day. I think we ought to be following you and the Yale football team around.
Nah,
we don't need that mayoral races around here. Let's just find out what's happening with the Yale football team. So how many games have you and the family come out to? Or is it just this one because of the connection with Penn?
No, we've been to about two or three games this year. We have to. Dad's a doctor for the team.
Oh, well, that's... Okay.
I sit at most of them. All of them.
Why do you say with your nose scrunched up like that?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, this is going
to... Isn't this the best interview you've had
this
yet?
This is working very well. But you enjoy the games, though, right?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
What's that?
We're talking to you. You gave out a whole bunch of blankets.
Well, you have a blanket. See, those girls didn't have blankets.
Ours is wet now.
Well, it is. That's, yeah. There's three jokes I can do about that, but I won't. No, but we won't. We won't. We'll get
Daniel, the team following you.
We'll have everyone at home. They can take time to do their own joke there, and we'll move right along here. Lee,
can we say hi to Jeff? Hi, Jeff.
He's what?
He's home studying.
He's a home studying student?
No, he's home studying.
Oh. What is he studying that's so important that he would miss the Yale Penn game? What's up with that?
Studying Penn Yale statistics.
Oh,
no. Say hi to Allison too.
No, only yeah, okay.
The Allison's running the New York Marathon, yes.
Oh, she is.
Yep, not this week, but she hasn't started yet. It won't be until next week, right?
All right. And she's also studying, is that it?
Yeah, where is Allison? I have to ask him. Allison went to Yale, undergrad.
So why isn't she out here?
Why? Well, you have to ask him.
You can trade right out here with the rest of us. You can run around the soccer field here. So, all right, listen. Providing I can get back up.
Yeah,
thank you. Huh? I don't know. Come on over. Do we have any blankets left, Joe? Ryan, No, we're all out of blankets. Okay.
Joe!
Sorry. We'll blame Joe.
Joe, come on!
Come on, blanket man.
I'm going to go chat with Joe.
Yeah, we'll go over. We'll get you. We'll find you some WELI promotional paraphernalia over there. So she... Now, wait a minute. Wait. Now, your daughter's walking away here. What kind of sweater does she have wrapped around her there?
Penn, with a P, big P.
But she said she's rooting for Yale today.
She's got the blue on. She's got the P on the bottom and the blue on the top.
I see. It's confusing. This is. I don't. Can you have a collegiate athletic dysfunctional family? I mean, have everything else work well, but
yeah, definitely.
But when it comes to rooting for collegiate sports, it just gets all shot to hell. It's just Queens College. Queens College and Lafayette. Good grief! All right, let's see. You or I? All right, we played them already. Thank you. You're a little late. Okay. All right. Let's see. We got guys from Naugatuck. We had. I mentioned that kids from my son's school up in Bristol were coming down today. Interesting that Yale has an outreach program that goes out into a variety of school systems, not just here specifically in the New Haven area, but all across Connecticut, to get people to come down, which is kind of a cool thing. And I mentioned that they come in from all parts of the state, but here in Connecticut, that's not saying a whole lot. It's like an hour drive to. What am I getting tipped? Oh, thank you. I thought you were waiting for balloon magic or something. Thank you. I'll go get your car, sir. Give me a key. Give me your keys. Well, no, I just think it's the Yale program does a lot here in the community, not just sports, but that they reach out to the community and get a lot of people involved in Yale sports. So we have a find out what happened to the sun, though. We haven't really. It'll be out. All right. I guess here along the shoreline, it takes a little bit longer. You can go back to your. Black and white cookie and your silver bullets there, kids. So, have a good time at the game. All right. Let's scoot over here to this tent right here. Usually we visit a few more hospitality tents than what we've had time to today, in that we've been just chatting with people. Let's see. Here's a fine group of people over here. Let's just crash in here and interrupt these fine individuals. Folks, we're live on WELI on the tailgate broadcast. I'm Jerry Christopher. What's your name?
George Cobb.
Where are you from, George?
Norwalk.
And what fine group do we have here under this tent?
The Liberal Midgets. They're an Air Force group from World War II.
The Liberal Midgets?
Yes.
Is that politically correct to actually say Liberal Midgets?
Absolutely politically correct.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure. Sir, are you a Liberal? You are a Liberal Midget from WW2.
WW2.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Jack Webb. I'm from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And you flew in for the game for the reunion?
Oh, yeah, we get together every year. There was 11 of us to start with, and now there's only 5 left.
But you still get together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God bless you. That's great.
Yeah. Last year they were out in Colorado. I took them to the Air Force game. Mm-hmm. Roasted a pig for them and all
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah, we have a good time. That's, see, there's the kind of gray-headed guys, that's the ones.
Gee, I'm darn near fit in here.
Where are you from?
I'm from News Talk 960 WELI. We're broadcasting the game. If you have a portable radio, you can hear Dick Galliott and Farm Koza, former head coach of the team, do the broadcast. Sir, you are?
Norman Cargo, Herman HPA.
Norman, fine to meet you. Where are you from?
Herman H, Pennsylvania, up in the western part of the state.
Oh, out there in the, where is that? Ohio Valley?
Right just across the border from Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh, out there. Okay. And you, sir?
Moline, Illinois, Jack Trevor.
And you all came in for the reunion this weekend?
Yes.
That's excellent. Now, what are you doing? Where are the rest of the boys? How you doing here, sir? What's your name?
Bill.
Bill
Guerin.
Where are you from, Bill?
Pennsylvania.
All right.
Rooting for Pennsylvania today.
I still like you anyway. All right.
Where are
you from, Henry?
State College, Pennsylvania.
Oh, State College. That's football country.
You know where that's at.
I sure do. Boy, that's serious football country up there. Well, we thank you for being here in New Haven this weekend.
We're enjoying it very much.
Have you enjoyed your stay so far?
Absolutely.
How do the guys all look? Pretty good?
They look...
He kind of paused over there.
Yeah.
He hesitates. He's lost.
To me, they don't look too good.
Oh, well, that's all right. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Very good.
Any predictions on the game today?
I don't have any myself, but my friend there, he says that we're behind Pennsylvania's 100%. Sorry, I said that.
We'll have to take those skybox passes back from you. Listen, it was a pleasure talking to all of you, and enjoy your weekend here at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right? Good seeing you. You guys did fine work.
Thank you.
All right? Proud to know you. There you are. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. All right, next up, it's the pregame show. It's Dick Galliott and Carm Koza live on the home of Yale football, the home of the Elis, News Talk 960 WELI.
Become a member of the Diversified Employment Team. They're looking for some good people to fill some great jobs. The Diversified Team offers a complete range of staffing services. Jobs that help companies with overloads and peak periods, vacation and sick coverage, leave of absences. And when you work with Diversified Employment, you can sharpen your skills while in between jobs. And with Diversified, it's possible to go from temp to hire. Additionally, Diversified pays. If you have technical, light industrial, or specialized administrative skills, Diversified has excellent career-enhancing positions available. Locally owned and operated, Diversified has been providing highly productive, performance-driven employees to companies for over 30 years. Call Diversified Employment Services in New Haven, Wallingford, Shelton, and Stamford. 397-2500, 397-2500. Join the Diversified team and sharpen your skills. Get the job you want and increase your ability to earn more. Call Diversified today.
The following is a presentation of WELI Sports.
With vacation season close at hand, here are some helpful tips from the nonprofit United States Tour Operators Association. If an offer sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Seeing the offer on a website does not count as getting an offer in writing, and a website can be easily changed. Before purchasing a vacation, check with an organization like the Better Business Bureau to be sure that the company you're dealing with is legitimate. Find out if the company is a member of an organization with a consumer protection plan, such as USTOA. All USTOA packages are backed by a $1 million consumer protection plan, which reimburses travelers in the unlikely event of the company's default or bankruptcy. For a free copy of USTOA's Smart Travelers Planning Kit, call toll-free 1-800-GO-USTOA. That number again is 1-800-GO-USTOA.
Now, back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELR.
And good afternoon, everybody, from the Yale Bowl in New Haven, Connecticut. A key Ivy League clash this afternoon between the Bulldogs of Yale and the University of Pennsylvania. Hi, this is Dick Galliott, along with veteran and ex-coach at Yale University, the legendary Carm Koza, now a successful author, and he'll be giving us our pregame review and analysis of what we are expecting here this afternoon. But the interesting part about all of this is that Penn and Yale clash again at the seventh game of the season, as they did a year ago, as they were tied for the lead in the Ivy League. As of this afternoon in the pregames all across the league, five teams are tied for first place with only one loss. And Carm Koza, that's just incredible.
Especially at this time of year, Dick, there's Brown, Cornell, Harvard, Penn, and Yale. And after today, of course, there's going to be a few not tied for first. Dick, this game, I think, is Yale's toughest game since the opener against Brown. Penn has got a very strong football team. They have 15 seniors starting, 7 on offense and 8 on defense. And they have one of the toughest fronts in the league, which Yale knows well after allowing 5 sacks and rushing for just 73 yards in last year's game. 3 of their senior interior linemen, Puzio, Mayer, and Germino, are very good football players. They're comparable to our young men up front. Germino, I feel, is their best. He's a transfer from Boston University, and he really puts pressure on the offensive set. Our young offensive line is going to have a real test today, and how they go may determine the outcome of this game. Co-captain Jim Hisgen leads the linebacker corps, while the secondary is compromised entirely of seniors. The defensive backfield really had been on a roll until last Saturday, and James Perry, Brown's great quarterback, threw for 440 yards, 5 touchdowns in the Bears' 44-37 win. On the offense, the Quakers have acted quickly to replace departed Raider and Finn. Finn was the Asa Bushnell winner last year in the league, and Gavin Hoffman now, who's a transfer from Northwestern, sits in the signal calling duties. He's a big guy. He's 6'6 and 233 pounds. And he has done a real good job in his last 3 games. In fact, he threw for a school record 399 yards in the 41-17 win at Columbia. And against Brown, he threw for 343 yards and nearly rallied the Quakers back with late touchdown passes. The Quakers have had problems, though, too. They've had problems holding on to the ball, losing 9 of their 11 fumbles, and Hoffman has been sacked 17 times. He is a drop-back passer. He does not have the foot mobility that Joe Wallen has, but like I said, he's 6'6 and can see over people. They should have their fullback, Brian Cosmello, who had a concussion, back in the lineup, and they also have a nice backup tailback in Mike Verrilli, who is a transfer from Duke. He also has had 13 catches on the year. Their tailback, Chris Ryan, has had a tremendous season so far. He's the leading rusher in the league. He's had, 855 yards. He's averaging 140.7 yards per game. He has 9 TDs, and he's first in all-purpose yardage at Penn with 873. Their leading receiver is Robert Milanese. He's a sophomore at 5'10", 175 pounds. He's had 23 receptions for 379 yards. 13 receivers have caught passes this year. Penn likes to use 2 tight ends. They run what we call a stretch play, which means the lineman will reach out to their right or to their left, and the quarterback will go back at a 45-degree angle and sprint back to the tailback, and then he picks his seam. They will run a counter off of that. They will also run bootlegs off of that. Rushing yardage this year, Penn has 927 yards to their opponent's 570. Passing yards is almost even. It's 1,470 to their opponent's 1,490. Their total yardage, 2,397 to their opponent's 260.
Defensively, they're a mirror of Yale. Yale's defensive coordinator, Rick Flanders, and defensive line coach, Dwayne Brooks, both came from Penn, and they brought the entire package. They use what we call an eagle defense. You'll see two linebackers in there, and I mentioned earlier, Hiskin is their leader. They have very good down line, and as I said before, and keep an eye on number 56. I think he's one of the outstanding defensive players in this league. The leading tackler on the team is Jim Hiskin, their senior linebacker at 6'2", 235, and cornerback Anthony DeSalle leads the team in interceptions with three. They have excellent cornerbacks, DeSalle and Joe Alapatulli. Like I said, they were on a roll until they played Brown, and Brown did a number on them. Penn has had a little problem converting on third down, especially last week. And like I say, they've had a problem holding on to the ball. They've lost 9 of 11 fumbles. Yale, on the other hand, I think this is their biggest test to date since the Brown game. Yale has a 5-game winning streak. They're hosting, of course, last year's Ivy champ, so this is a tremendous game for Yale University. This game will feature two of the league's best quarterbacks in Hoffman and Wallen, and personally, I'm show a little favoritism here. I think Wallen is the guy to do the job today. He just broke Yale's career total offense with 4,269 yards, and Hoffman, on the other hand, has had 7 interceptions. Joe has made great decisions. But like I said, this should be a real test at that position. And both teams are strong defensively, but I think Yale has a slight edge. And I'll tell you what the national rankings are in 1AA. They're 4th in scoring on defense with 13.2 points per game. They're 6th in team rushing defense with 77.8. And they're 10th in turnover margin with 1.33. And they're 11th in total defense with 269. In the Ivy League, Yale leads the rushing defense, scoring defense, total defense, and turnoff margin. So, again, Dick, this should be a whale of a football game this afternoon.
Okay, and right here on News Talk 960 WELI, Carm, we'll be back after we pause for this message.
Quick, how are your IRAs doing? It's a little shocking to think that most of us really don't know. IRAs are only as good as the investments you choose for them. How can you tell if you're getting the most out of your IRAs? Let Prudential Securities help you with a free IRA analysis. They'll prepare a personalized evaluation to help ensure that your IRAs are working hard to give you the retirement that you deserve. IRAs are a great way to save for retirement if your plan is working as hard as you are. For your free no-obligation IRA analysis, call Joe Linta, First Vice President Investment at Prudential Securities, 203-865-1161. That's 203-865-1161. Prudential Securities, member SIPC.
Hurricanes and bad storms certainly don't make retirement living any easier, especially when the weather makes it so difficult to get out. If you lived at Whitney Center in Hamden, you could relax no matter what the weather. You see, they take care of everything. They'll drive you to your friend's house, shopping, or your doctor's appointment. Treat yourself to the kind of retirement that Whitney Center offers. Call today for your personal tour, 281-6745. Whitney Center, in the Yellow Pages under Retirement.
Now, back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
And here we are back in the Yale Bowl. Dick Galliott and Carm Cosa. Mike Corwin will be our sideline reporter down on the field this afternoon, as always. And right now, though, let's hear what the head coach at Yale University had to say today, Jackson Blecky, when I caught up with him in the locker room.
The fact that you were still in contention for the Ivy League race are the 4 other of your teams in the league, the 7 win streak over Yale, or your friendship with Al Bagnoli.
I think the fact that we're contending for the league is the biggest issue. And there's no question, when you coach against your friends, you'd like to show your best. I think that's an issue for both of us. And, you know, I got guys on my staff that work for him down there, and, you know, obviously they would like to show that what we've done here is, the losing part of it, you know, we've talked about a lot of these things in the past, was the extended things don't really apply to the guys that are here right now, in terms of the players who have been here, you know, 2, 3, or 4 years, and the staff that has only been here for 2 full seasons. So that isn't the biggest concern. Obviously, this is the one team now we haven't beaten in the league, and we've beaten everybody at this point, and, you know, we'd like to get that one. And now we'd be in contention for the title or a select.
Coach Bagnoli brought it out more emphatically than any of the other coaches, Ivy coaches, previous to the Tuesday press conference this week, and that is saying flat out, Yale is the best balanced team in the Ivy League.
I think right now, if you look at our, you know, the way we've performed over the last few weeks, offense, defense, special teams, we have not had any, like, players of the week in the league or anything like that. We've had a great team effort from all of our areas, and it's made us a really good football team across the board. It's not the running back or just the quarterback or a couple of great players on defense or whatever. We have really done it as a team. And I know that makes it difficult to prepare for us, and hopefully, you know, that calms down a few of the things. You can't focus on one aspect of what we do, and that makes it tough to defend.
Talking about preparation now, you're playing against a team that is a mirror of yourself on defense. How difficult is that to prepare for?
I think the biggest issue is that you don't overanalyze. We do certain things well. We are a multiple team. I think we really have to maintain what we've been doing. Don't be so analytical about how would we play this, how would we do this, what should we do against that. We've gotten into a little bit of that. No question, you know, I've talked to Coach Blanders, who coached that defense down there. But again, we got to do what we do well. We've got to focus on our kids and what our kids can get done. And then attack them like we attack everybody else.
Speaking of your kids, now you can't help but notice that, you know, I go out to practice each week and I see our gear working out a lot more. I see Jake Gordon working out in pads. Is there any hope of return of either of those two?
They're both full go for today. Jake will see some action. I don't know at this point how much, but he's missed a lot of time. He certainly is a tough pair of legs that can run down the field. So, you know, he's back, has a backup
field
back in the group, and then they get something out of him today.
Coach, I was just thinking driving over here today. This thought never occurred to me, and I don't know why I did today. But in the preparation for this game, is there any difference because of the difference in the out-of-league schedule that both of you have played?
I don't think so. I mean, I know that being 5-1 and winning 5 games in a row has certainly built up confidence well. Last year we got battered around pretty good in a couple of the non-league games, and yet we came back and won the last 3 games. So I think we went through about a 3-game swing there where our backs were sort of lost because we lost a couple games and been beaten badly. I think from a mentality standpoint, our whole 5-game stretch we've been on, I mean, we took the tough mental blow in the first week, but the 5 weeks since we certainly have gained confidence week by week. Penn's situation, Penn has played 6 consecutive games on artificial surface. I think that wears on you physically a little bit. And, you know, we're at that time of the year when you've got the bings and bangs.
Played by the Yale University marching band under the direction of Mike Stafford, and this afternoon with a gorgeous assistant beside him, an adorable, looks like maybe I'm going to guess 3 and a half years old, standing up there on the ladder with him directing the Yale band. And we're about ready in just a couple of moments for the kickoff between Yale and the University of Pennsylvania, but first we'll pause on News Talk 960 WELI for these words.
A lot of questions have been asked about mayoral candidate Carlo Mento's bankruptcy by his own Democratic Party. These questions remain unanswered, despite a promise he made over a month ago to explain his bankruptcy in full detail. Specifically, people would like to know, did Carlo Mento pay his income taxes from 1990 to 1994? The amount owed to the government indicates he made a substantial income during those years. People are also asking why he took large cash advances on his credit cards prior to his filing bankruptcy.
He claims his bankruptcy was due in part to large medical bills. However, his bankruptcy only includes four medical bills totaling under $4,000. These are questions that only Mr. Ometo can and should answer for Hamden taxpayers. The Democratic Party accused Mr. Ometo of hiding his bankruptcy. Mr. Ometo, we urge you to be open and honest as you have asked others to be open and honest about government. Mr. Ometo's record on the Legislative Council shows he has a willingness to unnecessarily borrow. Panda needs someone who will be fiscally responsible.
Paid for by Spirit 99, Nick Bauer, Treasurer.
Now, back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELR.
Back here at the Yale Bowl, Dick Galliott and Carm Cozen, Mike Corwin down on the sidelines. The Yale football captain, Jake Fuller, standing in between the officials, waiting for his counterparts across the field from the University of Pennsylvania, Carmelo Robano, the center for Pennsylvania, and Jim Piskin, the linebacker for Penn, the co-captain for the Penn Quakers. Our officials this afternoon for this ball game, the referee is Herb Staton, the umpire Edwin Shanahan, the headlines and William Ditchkus, the line judge is Edward Getz, the back judge Fleming Norcutt, the field judge is Henry Finelli, the side judge is William Bale, clock operator Kevin Woods, and the 25-second clock operator is Joseph Lawrence. Those are our officials for today's game. Carm, you still have some comments before we get this coin toss.
Well, I mentioned the 15 seniors starting, Dick, but they have some of the key people are sophomores. I mentioned Gavin Hoffman, their quarterback at 6'6", 233, and their tailback, Chris Ryan, are both sophomores. Their leading receiver, Bob Melanese, is a sophomore at 5'10", 175. What Yale does well is put heavy pressure on the quarterback. Senior defensive lineman Jeff Hockenbrock has 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Peter Sarantos has 5 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, a team-high 11 tackles for losses. Peter Maloney has 3 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and Eli Kelly, 3 sacks, and Andy Tozzolino, Yale's great middle guard, has 2 sacks from the top defensive front in the league. So I feel very strongly that Yale will be going after them, and I do know that Todd Tomich last week had one of the best games of his career. He now has 4 interceptions, then Van Merrill with 3 interceptions and 41 tackles. They are 1-2 interceptions in the league. So our secondary is doing a great job as well.
Okay, Carm, thank you very much. Yale has won the toss and elected to defer in the second half, which means they'll be kicking off, and Pennsylvania will go on offense for the first time this afternoon, and it means that we'll get a look very shortly at the 6'6", 233-pound sophomore quarterback from the University of Pennsylvania, Gavin Hoffman, who has thrown for 1,386 yards coming into this game this afternoon with 9 touchdown passes, and he's been intercepted 7 times. Now, contrary to that, Joe Wallen for Yale has thrown 9 touchdown passes this season, but Carm, all the more remarkable, he has been intercepted only once this season.
Joe has made great decisions all year long. I can't say enough good things about him. As you know, he broke Yale's passing record last week. He is a senior. He has tremendous respect from his teammates. They feel so confident when he's under center. And the other good thing about Joe is when it is a little muddy in there, he's got the great foot skill. He just takes off, and he really burns the defense. And he's going to have to be on his game today because this possibly is the best defense Yale has faced to date.
This is Yale football. We'll pause for a station identification.
You're listening to Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI, New Haven.
And we're getting set for the kickoff this afternoon in the Yale Bowl under a little bit of cloudy skies right now, but a great temperature for football. Justin Davis will be kicking off for the Elis, and he puts his foot to the ball. This game is underway. The kick bounces around the 15-yard line, goes out of bounds, so Ken catches a break on the opening kickoff, which means they'll put the ball in play from the 35-yard line as the ball went out of bounds.
There's not much of a wind today, Dick. There's a little wind at Yale's back, but it's not, I don't think, a determining wind in either quarter, although that can change by the time the second half comes around.
Well, Yale's defense will be put to the test right off the bat. Defensive end Peter Sarantos, defensive tackle Mike Reeves, middle guard Andy Tozzolino, defensive tackle Peter Maloney, defensive end Jeff Hockenbrock. They are the keys, the linebackers, Peter Mazza, Bill Thompson, cornerbacks Phillips and Tomich, safeties Merrill and Blake. Hoffman has a man in motion coming to the left side. and bucks out his signals, takes the snap, hands off, fakes the draw to Ryan, rolls out to the right, play action pass, throws downfield at the 45-yard line, intended for Smith. They split in, but the pass is overthrown. Josh Phillips covering on the play. It'll be a second down and 10 for Penn.
That's one Hoffman would like to have back, Dick. Number five, Nwanese, got behind our safety and had it thrown it to him and caught it, would have been 6 points. Yale's got to be very concerned about that boot. That comes off the stretch play, like I said earlier, that they like to run, and they run the boot action and also the counter action from it.
Chris Ryan, the tailback, is alone back in the backfield. Milanese is out wide on the right-hand side. They're also split on the left. Hoffman takes, wants to throw again, fires off that left side. It is complete at the 45-yard line. Immediately dropped on the play. Colin Smith, the split end, is on the reception. Todd Tomich makes the tackle.
This is
the first down for Penn.
This is the type of play that Hoffman looked best in the film I had seen, where he runs tight play action inside and fires the ball right over the middle or to the outside receivers.
Hoffman is big. He sees that field at 6'6". Yale showing a five-man defensive front, first and 10. The line of scrimmage is the Penn 45-yard line. Both of these teams 2-1 in Ivy League play. Yale 5-1 overall. Penn 3-3 overall on the season. Running in motion to the right side is Milanese. Hoffman makes the draw. Here comes the pursuit, and he gets away from the on-rushing pursuit and manages to just throw the ball away as Andy Cozzolino was in there, and as was Mike Reeves, was the first one who had a shot at him, but Hoffman just wouldn't go down after he took that first hit from Mike Reeves. Reeves, a 6'3", 265-pound junior defensive tackle out of New Holland, Ohio, for the Elis, playing great ball this year.
As I said at the beginning of the program, Dick, he does not have real good feet, meaning Hoffman. He was trying to get Milanese to go deep, and, of course, he couldn't catch the signal, and it didn't happen.
Okay, Penn with a double wide out on the right side with Colin Smith, the split end, out there real wide. Zagorski's in at tight end. He's been out for a couple of games. They fire out to that side to Smith. It's completed midfield into Yale territory, and he goes out of bounds down around the 45-yard line. Josh Phillips, the cornerback from Orlando, Florida, for Yale, 6 foot, 193-pound junior, pushes him out.
Amazing on this first drive, Dick. They established a running attack in almost every game. Ryan carrying the ball between 35 and 40 times, and he hasn't carried the ball once yet. It's all passing.
And another first down for Pennsylvania. Their second on this drive. Going out of the lineup now is Zagorski, the 6'7", 245-pound junior from Batavia, Illinois. Out of the huddle comes Penn with the first down at the Yale 45-yard line. Opening drive of the ball game. Double wide out on the left side and a slot. They hand off to Ryan for the first time this afternoon. He gets to about the 42-yard line before Than Merrill comes up from the safety position to put a hit on him, and he goes down. Merrill is 6'3", 220-pound junior from Fresno, California.
He is one of Yale's leading tacklers as well as interceptors. He's a fine football player.
Ryan picked up 3 yards. It'll be a second down and 7 now with the line of scrimmage, the 41-yard line of Yale. Penn took the opening kickoff. Their line of scrimmage was the 35-yard line because the opening kickoff went out of bounds. Gavin Hoffman, the quarterback, looking over the Yale defense. They've got a 4-4 right now. Now he drops straight back, takes the handoff, wants to throw downfield deep. He's got a man open. Milanese hauls it in on the 8-yard line of Yale. Oh, he had his man beaten, and he just flew downfield.
Again, I repeat, Dick, this is what Hoffman does best. The fake to the tailback up the middle, play action. He does a real good job of holding the defense and then hitting one of those quick wideouts. And the best wideouts are sophomores.
So Penn now has a first and goal to go from the 9-yard line. I mean, Hoffman threw a strike to Milanese. Milanese is 5'10", 175 pounds, a sophomore from Wyckoff, New Jersey. This time it's a triple backfield, handoff straight ahead to Ryan. He grinds his way down to the 5-yard line and inside the 5 to the 4 before Phil Thompson and a host of friends is able to put the stop on him. Ryan is very difficult. He's 6 feet, 235 pounds, and he runs very hard.
Real strong, powerful legs, and in the film I watched on him, Dick, he never falls backwards. He's always going forward for an extra 1 or 2 yards like he did just there.
Brian Cosmello, the fullback, goes out. Brandon Carson comes in, double wing, double tight end. Ryan, the deep back, in the eye. In motion comes Carson to the right side. They fake the draw to Ryan. Here comes pursuit. Now firing for the end zone and out of bounds. As the Ratos came in and put a big rush on Gavin Hoffman, forcing him to throw the ball away quickly. He was looking for his receiver, Brandon Carson, down in the corner of the end zone, but it was incomplete.
That was a wise choice because Yale had all their receivers covered like a blanket. And then, of course, Peter Taranto did such a great job of putting pressure on the quarterback down in front of him.
Double wide out to the left now. It is a third down and goal to go from the Yale 4-yard line. The opening drive of the ball game by the University of Pennsylvania. Take the snap. Loft pass for the end zone. Touchdown 10. Touchdown 10. As Ben Zagorski, the big tight end,
he's 6'7", Dick, and I'll tell you, he's a big tree. And he just threw the ball on that alley-oop shot up in the air, and he went up and got it. Nothing fancy, and he's just too tall to cover.
Oh, Penn gets up on the scoreboard and made it look easy, just going downfield on a 4-yard touchdown pass to Zagorski.
I'll tell you what surprises me, Dick. This is the first time in six games Penn has played on grass. All their games have been on turf. They made a beautiful adjustment.
And we have a flag drop before the attempt for the extra point by Jason Feinberg. It looked like Eli Kelly popped offside before the snap of the ball.
Normally when you're playing on turf, like I say, it's a different game because it's quicker. And normally you get more bumps and bruises. But it certainly hasn't affected Penn in this first drive.
And the officials discuss what to be occurring here on the penalty. 11:45 to go in the first quarter. Pennsylvania takes the opening drive, came downfield in 3 minutes and 15 seconds. And illegal procedure is the call against the University of Pennsylvania, so that'll move the line of scrimmage back to the 7-yard line, and the extra point attempt will be made from there. Jason Feinberg is the extra point kicker, place kicker for the University of Pennsylvania. He is 17 of 18 in extra points for the season. The extra point attempt will be coming from the 15, so it's a 25-yard extra point attempt. Waiting for the snap. Here's the snap. The spot, the boot. It's up in the air with plenty of distance, and it is good. And so the score is 10-7, Yale nothing. And we'll be back after this 30-second timeout. This is Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Everybody's favorite landmark, the Howard Johnson's in Hamden, offers finance and customer service. Our convenient location on Whitney Avenue offers our guests a variety of dining and shopping alternatives. In addition, the excitement of downtown New Haven is easily accessible and just minutes away. Traveling for business or pleasure, we've made sure our guests' room amenities will exceed your expectations. Coffee makers, Staticports, talk radios, and more await our guests. Enjoy a complimentary cup of coffee in our lobby while you check in. Our staff is waiting to make you feel at home. Call today for reservation, 1-800-I-GO-HOJO. Our family cares about you. The Schaefer Hotel property serving the Yale community for over 30 years.
Now, back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
And here we are back in the Yale Bowl. Dick Elliott, Carl Coase, and Mike Corwin down on the sideline. Briefly, Mike, what's the reaction down there?
Well, Dick, I don't think you're going to see a quarterback that's as fundamentally sound as Gavin Hoffman. He just looked terrific on that drive. Everyone was so amazed at the way, just the precision that all their plays worked. I'm sure the Bulldogs will be retooling defensively, but I think really Penn came out and surprised Yale on that drive. They did everything right on their first drive.
Thank you, Mike. Carm?
Well, the one thing you've got to know is Penn knows that defense better than anyone because it's their defense. They know how to attack it. They know the soft spot. They know the weaknesses. But so does Yale. Now, let's see what happens when Yale takes over.
Excellent point, Carm. Now it'll be Feinberg kicking off at the University of Pennsylvania. Fuller and Keith Reams are the deep men for the Elites. And here's the kickoff. It's coming down around the 5-yard line taken by Fuller. He's up to the 10, the 15. He's at the 20. Hit once there. Still on his feet. Falls forward to the 21-yard line. And that's where he goes down.
Remember, too, Dick, Penn started their drive on the 35-yard line. That's, one or two first downs away from four-down territory. That helps.
Red Plaza made the stop for the University of Pennsylvania, so Yale goes to work. First and 10 from their own 20-yard line, trailing in the ballgame here in the first quarter at the 11:36 mark, 7-0, as Penn drove downfield, scored on a 4-yard touchdown pass to Zagorski. Go well on the quarterback, Bartholomew with the tailback. Keppel, the fullback. Yale with a double wide out to the left. Now a pass out to Keppel. He's at the 20. Keppel at the 25. Keppel up to the 26-yard line before he is dropped by Jim Hispin, the linebacker co-captain for Pennsylvania, a 6'2", 235-pound senior out of Albany, New York.
That's the same play that Brown hurt Penn on last Saturday. That just swing pattern. And this time, Jimmy Keppel, who is an outstanding receiver now, caught the ball and picked up valuable yards, a little over 7 yards.
Yeah, with a second down and four at their own 27-yard line, double wide out to the right side, a slot on the right as well. Take the draw. Waller rolls to the left. Now he wants to run. He gets out of bounds at the 29-yard line, so he picks up a couple. Jim Hisgen drove him out of bounds.
He is their leading tackler. He's their signal caller, and he is a very fine linebacker. You're going to see him in on a lot of plays today.
Third down and two for the first down. 10:55 to go in the first quarter here at the Yale Bowl as the crowd still coming into the bowl on this third down and two for the Elis. Yale trailing 7-0 here in the early going.
Both teams coming out throwing the ball, Dick.
High formation for the Elis. Keppel, the fullback, in motion to the left. Double wide out on the right. Pitch back goes to Bartholomew. First carry of the afternoon across the 30 and to the 31. That's a first down for Yale. Hisgen made the tackle, but Rashad Bartholomew picks up the first down for Yale.
That was an excellent run. He was actually tagged behind the line of scrimmage. It was just an arm, but he broke it and got hit again at the line of scrimmage and then fell forward for enough to get the first down. That was a fine run by Rashad.
Yale wasting no time. Did not go into a huddle. Now come up to the line of scrimmage. Jake Fuller goes out wide on the right side. Eric Johnson in the slot at the right-hand side. High formation, Keppel and Bartholomew in the backfield in the eye. Wallen looking at a four-man defensive front for the University of Pennsylvania. Takes the snap, drops straight back, fires out to the right side to Keppel. It's complete at the 35. And Keppel goes down at the 35-yard line, picks up a few on the play. It is Kennelly Williams making the stop.
That's another play that Brown had success with last week, sending the near back out in the flat real quick and hitting him quickly. And Yale's taking advantage of Penn's weakness so far.
Second down and six for the first down. Line of scrimmage, the Yale 35-yard line. Four men down linemen for Penn. Yale double wide out on the left this time. Fuller out there wide on the left. Waller wants to throw, no room, and he decides to run. He's at the 40, picks up the first down, 45, goes out of bounds at about the 47-yard line, and Joe Wallen, who can hurt you in so many ways, picks up a big Yale first down when his receivers were covered, finally driven out of bounds by Dan Morris and Joe Alapatuli.
He leads the team in all-purpose running and passing, and of course, like I said at the beginning of the program, this guy can hurt you in so many ways. That time, receivers were covered, and Joe got the valuable yardage needed for the first.
And Yale with the first down at their own 47-yard line. Again, no huddle. Come out there wide on the left side. Slotted on the left as well. Keppel, the fullback, comes in motion. Takes the snap. Fires out quickly to Keppel. He is hit as soon as he receives the ball, but he manages to fall forward and get back to the line of scrimmage. Andrew Altman, a defensive end who is 6'2", 220 pounds, a freshman from Belgrade, Florida, making the tackle.
That was the same play they started the game with, Dick, except it was out to Yale's right. This time they ran it to the left, and Penn made an adjustment and got there in time for a one-yard loss.
It was a one-yard loss. His knee had touched, so it'll be second down and 11. Line of scrimmage now is the 46-yard line of the Elis. Yale trails 7-0 to Penn. Pitch back to Bartholomew. Gets up to the line of scrimmage at the midfield stripe. In defense territory at the 45. Bounces off one. He's at the 40, the 35, the 30. He's at the 25, the 20. And he's chucked out of bounds and knocked out of bounds at the 18-yard line. Finally by Kennelly Williams. A great run by Rashad Bartholomew.
And that's exactly what Yale needs, Dick. They need to get that running attack going against this defense. They need balance. So that was that's going to make Penn think a little bit. And, of course, that's going to help Yale now get gain some confidence.
35-yard run by Rashad Bartholomew to set up the first down in Penn territory. That's what you need, that kind of running for Yale this afternoon. First and 10 at the 18-yard line of Penn. Double wide out on the right side. Wasting no time. They didn't huddle in either. End the shotgun formation. Wallen, the quarterback, takes that snap, looks, wants to throw, looking, fires over the middle, complete to the 15-yard line. So it's a pickup of about three. Harry Lee in the lineup now at tailback, and he makes the reception. Jim Hisgen, the linebacker, co-captain for Penn, makes the stop.
Yale's hitting outside. They're hitting with a fine run, and that time over the middle. They're mixing it up really well, keeping Penn's defense off balance.
Now Bartholomew back in the lineup after getting a blow after that 35-yard run for the first down. Yale with Fuller out wide on the left side. Everybody in tight. And I formation. Bartholomew the deep back in the eye. Pitch back goes to Bartholomew. Slashes off the right tackle slot. Gets to about the line of scrimmage and not a foot more. As three white defenders from the University of Pennsylvania led by Edward Gallen a 6'1", 255-pound junior from Fairlawn, New Jersey, in on the stocks.
He really didn't have much of an opportunity that time. That was well defensed by Penn. And like I said, this is going to be the biggest challenge for Yale's offensive line, who is what is relatively inexperienced against a veteran defensive line.
Tommy McNamara checks into the Yale lineup. Jeff Dittman checks out. Eli's double wide outs on both sides, left and right. Third down and six. Line of scrimmage is the 15-yard line of Penn. Ball over the long count. Shotgun formation. Wants to throw over the middle. It's complete to Eric Johnson at the 6-yard line, and that should be a first down, and it is. That's Connie White. Makes the stop for Penn, and not after Eric Johnson, Mr. Versatility of this Yale football team, makes the reception.
He leads the team in receptions, and like you said, Mr. Versatility plays two or three different positions and also is one of the nation's leading punters.
Comes in here today with 27 receptions, 407 yards, and an average of 15-1 a catch for the Eli. Yale out of the huddle. First down and goal to go at the 7-yard line. Split wide on the left side, also wide on the right. A slot on the left as well. High formation. Joe Wallen takes. Snaps. Rolls out to the left. Looking. Now decides to take off as his receivers are covered. Now fires for the end zone. Incomplete. Looking for Tommy McNamara. Covering on the play for the University of Pennsylvania was Kennelly Williams, the sophomore from Rolling Hills Estates, California.
Penn defense made Joe pull it up, and because of his good feet, he was able to go backside and almost completed a touchdown pass.
Jake Fuller comes in. Jimmy Bennett comes out of the Yale lineup at receiver position. Yale comes out of the huddle. Tommy McNamara going out wide on the left side. Jake Fuller goes out wide on the right. Eric Johnson's in a slot at the left. Keppel goes in motion to the right. Second down and goal to go from the 7. They take in a handoff straight ahead to Bartholomew. Inside the 5. Down to the 3-yard line before he's stripped up by Jim Hiskin, the co-captain for the University of Pennsylvania. Yale, remember, trailing 7-0 here in the first quarter with 6:58 and the clock running. Yale, Pennsylvania, took the opening kickoff from their own 35, went downfield, scored on a 4-yard pass play from Hoffman to Zagorski, the tight end. Eli's now with a third down and goal to go from the 4. Out of the huddle they come. Chuck Buck in the lineup, a junior from Princeton, New Jersey. He's in at a tight end position now. Fuller out wide on the right. Keppel in motion to the left. Wallen barks out his signals. Drops back. Fires to the end zone. It is cut and dropped. Oh, Jeff Stetman had his hands on it, but he was being fought for the ball by Anthony DeSalle, a right cornerback for the University of Pennsylvania. And just like when he looked like he was about to haul it in for good and the score, it was popped loose.
That was a great defensive effort by DeSalle, because Dittman had the ball. Joe put it right on the money, and he just fought it and pulled it out at the last second.
Well, here's Mike Moravcek on the field for a field goal attempt at the 15-yard line. This will be a 25-yard field goal attempt, waiting for the snap from center. Here's the snap, the spot, the boot by Moravcek. It's up. It's long enough. It is good. And Yale gets on the scoreboard. And with the score, Penn 7, Yale 3. We'll be back after this 30-second timeout. This is Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Whatever your business banking needs, come to New Haven Savings Bank. It's New Haven Savings Bank's business to provide your business with banking services tailored to fit your unique needs. You'll get courteous, prompt attention, and fast decision from a banker you can call anytime. And from a bank that's been here for a century and a half. New Haven Savings Bank, a very nice business bank. Stop in or call 203-789-2683. That's 789-2683. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Now back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
And back in the bowl, Dick Galliott and Grant Cosa. Let's get down to the sideline now for Mike Corwin.
Thank you very much, Dick. One thing Penn coach Al Bagnoli told us on Tuesday was that they had a lot of problems defending on third down against Brown last week. The Bulldogs pulled it off with an Eric Johnson catch a few rounds ago, but then Penn stopped them on that play. So the Bulldogs' third down conversions are really going to be key. One other observation, Dick. On the 35-yard run by Rashad Bartholomew, he was inches away from breaking it for a 50-yard-plus touchdown run. So he's looking really good.
Thank you very much, Mike. 6:23 to go in this first quarter. Penn out in front of Yale, 7-3 in a key Ivy League clash here at the bowl this afternoon before a fine crowd.
Dick Rashad has had 3 100-yard plus games in a row, and he looks like he's right on track and up to his ability that he showed last year.
Here's Justin Davis's kickoff. This one comes right down the middle. Comes to Carson. He takes it at the 10. He's at the 15. He's at the 20. He's at the 25. He's got room. He's at the 30. Cuts back at the 35 and is gang tackled down at the 37-yard line. Josh Phillips and Ben Blake lead the charge to bring him down.
Yale had to go 15 more yards than Penn did on their return because they had the ball on the 20 where Penn the last drive took it from the 35. Again, Penn has it on the 37, so that's a little bit better field position.
Well, let's see what the adjustments are that Yale's defense will come up with now after they took a look at Penn on that opening drive as they marched 65 yards downfield for the score. Penn leads 7-3, 6:12 remaining in the first quarter. Quakers come out, split on the right side. Milanese goes in motion to the left. Now they take handoff, straight ahead to Ryan. Ryan cracks ahead across the 40, up to about the 43-yard line before he's dropped by Sam Merrill and Mike Reeves. So it gets about a 6-yard pickup on the play. Second down, a long three for the first down.
He's a load, Dick. He's 235 pounds, around 6 foot, and he really turns those knees. He gives you high knee action. And he cuts really well, too. For a sophomore, he's a fine-looking back, and I can see why he's leading the league in rushing.
And now with a second down and long three for the first down, Gavin Hoffman, the 6'6 quarterback, sophomore for Penn, directing the attack. We have a flag drop now as the clock ran out, the play clock, and I believe we'll have a delay of game called against the University of Pennsylvania. An illegal procedure is the call instead, so it looked like Brandon Clay, the tight end, 6'5", 250 sophomore from Fort Worth, Texas, had moved.
I think the officials had a choice there, Dick. The clock ran out as well, so they really had a choice.
Second down and 8 now for the first down as Penn's line of scrimmage is back to the 39, their own. Double wide out on the left and split on the right-hand side. Hoffman takes. Takes the draw to Ryan. A lot of time. He throws, looking for that left side. And it is caught at the 32-yard line of Yale. And Ben Blake almost got a hand on it. But he hauled it in. Penn does on the 33-yard line. It was Colin Smith, the split end, who was on the other end of the reception.
Again, play action inside, holding the linebackers and giving that secondary a little different look. And then quick receivers getting out behind. That one was thrown perfectly. If just a little less, that would have been picked.
Well, Hoffman, he has exhibited here in his early going, has a fine arm. Comes in motion to the right side now. I formation, Penn wide on the right side. Here's the handoff straight ahead to Ryan. He's at the 30, Ryan at the 25, and inside the 25 down to about the 23-yard line. And Stan Merrill and Ben Blake form a tandem to bring him down. So once again, this Pennsylvania offense is on the move and just goes downfield quickly.
They're mixing it up really well, and like I said before, Dick, both teams know this defense extremely well because they both use identical defenses, and they know where to attack it.
Out of the huddle they come. John Hollihan is wide on the right side for Penn. Second down, less than a yard to go for the first down. Line of scrimmage is the 24 of Yale. Hand it to Ryan, goes off the left side. He picks up the first down, gets inside the 20 to about the 18-yard line before he's stopped by Bill Thompson, Eli linebacker out of Jacksonville, Florida, a sophomore. But another first down for the University of Pennsylvania, who's out in front of this ball game with 4:10 to go in the first quarter, 7-3 over Yale.
Penn has played a very tough out-of-league schedule, and playing people like Villanova and also Bucknell, who happens to have a very good team this year. They're the only team to beat Colgate thus far.
Tight end Zagorski comes back into the lineup. He's a big target at 6'7", and he has the first touchdown in the ballgame by Penn. Ryan gets the handoff, gets to the line of scrimmage, tries to cut back, maybe picks up a yard on the play, gang tackled down. Defensive end Peter Sorrento out of Portage, Michigan, the Eli second team All-Ivy defensive end in on the stop.
I believe one thing that's helping Penn is Camello back. He had a concussion and did not play last week against Brown. He is close to 240 pounds. He's a very good lead blocker, and he makes a difference in that interior blocking.
This time on a second down and 9, Milanese comes in motion to the right side. Smith is the split end wide on the right. A handoff is faked, and here comes the pursuit by Yale, and manages to get the pass off. It's complete to the 15-yard line. Coming up from behind, Clay was the receiver, but it was Peter Sarantos who almost had himself a sack, but just missed by a fraction as Hoffman was able to get the ball away. Ryan Proto makes the stop.
Penn does a very good job of picking off the backside. They know Yale's strength at that defensive end position. But that time, Peters eluded the block and almost got Hoffman.
Third down and six now for Penn at the Yale 14-yard line. Lakers in a shotgun formation this time. Wide on the right side, Smith. In motion goes Milanese to the left. Hoffman gets the snap, looking, fires out to the flat to Ryan. He's all by himself. He's at the 10. He's hit and crunched at the 10-yard line on a great tackle by Ryan Laproto and Todd Tomich, and stops him short of that first down. It looked like he had all kinds of room because he was able to pick up ahead of steam, and there was nothing but green grass in front of him on the left side.
That was a major league hit there, Dick, and that was crucial because now Penn has to make a decision. Looks like they're going to call a timeout and decide what they want to do.
It's fourth and about a yard to go for the first down, the line of scrimmage being the 9-yard line of Yale. Penn out in front, 7-3 over the Eli. Mike Corwin, you're down on the sideline. What do you hear?
Well, Dick, as anybody who's put on a football team knows, there's nothing that gets the team more fired up than a big hit. And that hit just moments ago by Tomich and Laproto really got the defense fired up, stopping him a yard short of the fourth down and forcing Penn to make his decision. So I think that's going to give the Bulldogs a little bit of a boost defensively here.
All right, the Yale defense was work cut out for him, Carm, on this fourth and one for the first down for Penn to keep their drive alive.
It looks like they're going to go for it, Dick, and my guess is it'll be in the hands of number 41, Chris Ryan, their big tailback, who's 235 pounds and leads the league in rushing.
And more importantly, averages 6.3 yards of carry.
This is tough yardage down here. Penn knows that Yale's going to have an awful lot of folks on that front. But they're going to be in two tights with two wing backs. And we'll see what they do.
Fourth and a yard to go. Cosmello in motion. Now stops. Here's the handoff to Ryan. He's hit at the line of scrimmage, but I believe he falls forward. It's going to be very close for the first down. Of course, the Penn players are going first down. The Yale players are going no, waiting for the officials to unpile. I mean, he was hit at the line of scrimmage, and I don't know if he picked it up, or not. They're not calling in the change. Yale's defense has help. And Todd Tomich and crew and the rest of them there that were gang tackling. And Jeff Hockenbrock gets a big thank you from the rest of that defensive unit. He puts the initial hit on. And the Eli stop Penn on the 10-yard line. And that's where they take over the football with a minute and 50 seconds to go in the first quarter, trailing Penn 7-3.
This may be just what the doctor ordered for Yale, Dick, because that's going to give them confidence. They did hold them with no points after that long drive, and now Yale knows that they can move the ball against Penn defense.
Yale on the I formation, hands off to Bartholomew, stutters his way along, gets across the 10 to about the 13-yard line, maybe up to the 14-yard line, picks up about four on the carry. Rashad Bartholomew high-stepping it, if you will. Jim Hiskin, I mean, has he not been in on every stop?
He's all over the field, and he is their leading tackler. He's their co-captain and one of the best football players in the league on defense inside the ball.
Second down and six now for the Elis. Line of scrimmage is their own 14-yard line, lined up in the I formation, just split on the left side. Five-man front defensively for Penn. The pitchback goes to Bartholomew. He wants to cut it back. He gets across the line of scrimmage up to the 15-yard line. That means he picked up about a yard before he was dropped in his track by Hiskin again. Gallen was in there as well.
That time Yale was in two tight ends and a flanker out wide, and what that does is it keeps the Penn defense honest, meaning they can't shift over to the tight end, so they can go either way. But also, you are offensively curtailed because you can't throw the wideout passes like you'd like to.
Eli's come out on this third down and five at their own 15-yard line. Double wideout on the left side. Wallen operating from the shotgun decides to call timeout because he doesn't like something he sees on the defensive side of the line.
This is something Joe does extremely well. Rather than take a chance and give up a play or maybe have an interception or a fumble, he'll call a timeout, talk it over with the coaches, and get it right.
Mike Corwin, you're down there. What do you hear now?
Yeah, well, That was certainly all Joe Wong. He came over, coached to let you know exactly why he called the timeout wrong. Very cool. Explained to him exactly the situation. And now they're talking it over, and they'll come in with the play. Another key third down situation coming up here.
And thank you very much, Mike Cohen. 34 seconds on the clock, Carm, in this first quarter remaining. Third down and 5 for the first down. But again, you're in a situation now on third down and 5. And Yale's on its own 15-yard line. You cannot afford a mistake here as well.
That's right. And Joe wisely called the timeout because he didn't like what he saw. And maybe they didn't have the right personnel in there for the defensive look they had seen, or maybe not the correct play. And rather than take a chance, like I say, he called the timeout. And to me, that's a very good timeout.
All right, Yale's got the play now, and out of the huddle comes Eli. Pennsylvania coming up to the line of scrimmage on defense. Yale with a double wideout on the left, split on the right side as well. Yale again operating from the shotgun on this third down and 5. Joey Wallen barking out those signals, left and right, waiting for the snap. Penn showing blitz. Here's the snap. Wallen looks, fires to the sideline. It is caught by Eric Johnson at the 21-yard line, goes out of bounds. That's a Yale first down.
Great play, and no...
What a pair of hands.
No better receiver to go to than Eric. I mean, he really has soft hands. He's a big guy. He's not real fast, but he makes his moves count, and I'll tell you, if it's anywhere near him, he catches it.
Afshani White and Kennelly Williams are the ones who drove him out of bounds, but not before Eric Johnson had picked up the first down for Yale.
And he knew exactly where the first down marker was, which was a real smart move by Eric.
Double wide out on the right, split on the left, Keppel in motion to the left. Wallen wants to throw, fires complete to Jake Fuller at the 29. Goes out of bounds across the 30 to the 31. That should be another first down. Joe Alapatuli pushed him out of bounds. The left cornerback for Pennsylvania, the 5'10", 175-pound senior out of Torrance, California. The stakes are stretched out. The Elis have picked up another first down.
He had been injured and didn't play the last couple games. He's back in there now starting for them because they had problems last week, as I said, against James Curry, who threw for 40 yards.
First down, Elis. 24 seconds showing on the clock. Double wide out on the right side. Line of scrimmage, their own 32. Wallen takes the snap, rolls off, fires out to that right flat. Complete to Keppel at the 35. Keppel at the 40. And Keppel pushed out of bounds at about the 41. But again, Anthony DeSalle pushed him out of bounds. But Keppel picks up the first down. He's become a very important offensive cog in this Yale offense.
He's a real weapon, especially in receiving the ball. He's not the physical blocker that Bentley was last year. But he does everything else extremely well. He's a fine athlete.
Excuse me for interrupting. Making his first appearance in 4 or 5 games is Jake Borden. Just come out to the field, in there at slot on the left side. He's been out with an injury, the shoulder injury, since the Valparaiso game.
Really great to see him back. And he can go with the ball, and he is a senior who's really paid his dues.
And he gets that reception. He goes out of bounds with it, but he did not hesitate as he hauled it in.
Oh, he's a tough guy. You worry every time he stretches out because he's had that shoulder problem.
Well, he made the reception, but it was out of bounds, I believe, right?
It was.
Second down and 10, and we have, 10 seconds showing on the clock? 4 remain in the first quarter?
Right. And there's a little wind, Dick. Not enough, I don't think, to make a significant difference in this game so far.
Yale comes out of the huddle with a double wide out on the left side. Keppel in motion to the right side. Wallen barks out the signal, taking a hands it off to Bartholomew at the 45. Bartholomew up to the 48-yard line before he's stripped up, and that'll run out the clock here in the first quarter. And it does end the first period. With the score, Penn 7, Yale 3. We'll be back after this 60-second timeout. This is Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
News flash from Hamden Town Hall. Mayor Barbara A. DiNicola announced today that the town has received another $500,000 from Governor Rowland in state grant money. This money is targeted for the revitalization of the Highwood neighborhood, which is often referred to as the gateway to Hamden. The grant is the shot in the arm the Highwood neighborhood desperately needs for community development and revitalization. This money, combined with past grants, adds up to over $5 million DiNicola has brought into Hamden.
We elect Mayor Barbara DiNicola headquarters.
I just want to call to thank Mayor DiNicola because she kept her promise to promote economic development.
That's true. After only 22 months in office, Mayor DiNicola's economic plan is paying off for Hamden. New businesses like Bonton, Bowles Department Store, Applebee's, TJ Maxx and more, Valley Fitness Center, and SNET Call Center are just a few of the new businesses that are creating new jobs and increasing our tax base, which can lead towards lower taxes.
Paid for by re-elect Mayor Barbara DiNicola Committee, Michael Boardman, Treasurer.
Now, back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELR.
And here we are back at the Yale Bowl. Dick Galliott, Carm Cozen, Mike Corwin, Eli come out of the huddle now as the first play of the second period is about to get underway. Yale trailing 7-3 to Penn. It is a third down and 5 at the Eli 48. And before the play can be snapped, we have, what, a timeout called by Penn.
They weren't set properly, and that's what happened. Dick, I've got some scores around the league. In the second period, it's Harvard 21, Dartmouth 7. It's Cornell 7 in the first, Wagner nothing. It's Fordham 6, Brown nothing in the second. That surprises me.
That's a shocker.
Really. Columbia and Princeton 0-0 in the first, and Michigan 17, Indiana 0 in the first.
And we'll be up in Ithaca, New York next Saturday to take on Cornell, the Eli.
Another score that would be of importance to people here in the East. Syracuse is leading Boston College 17-14 in the second period.
Timeout is still out down on the field. The Penn team is still grouped around their bench.
Now that's the timeout the coaches don't like, Dick. They had time. They had ample time. They knew it was a change of the quarter, and they should have been set and ready to go, but they weren't. And that's one the coaches will talk about tomorrow when they look at the film. Say, hey, guys, we can't do this. We need those timeouts. Here in the fourth quarter.
On the scrimmage is the 37-yard line of Yale. They're in the I formation, double wide out on the left, wide on the right side. Wallen takes, rolls out to the left. He rolls, he fires, he looks, and it's incomplete, intended for Jake Fuller. And if he had caught it, he would have been out of bounds anyway. Anthony DeSalle doing a good job this afternoon for Penn defensively on the receivers for the Eli.
Yes, they have two excellent cornerbacks, Dick. One thing I noticed, Yale now is coming off that snap as quickly as they possibly can because of the strong rush they've been getting. And Joey Wallen is trying to get outside of it.
Now McNamara is in a slot at the left side for Yale as they break from the huddle. They're also wide on the left. Second down and 10 at the 37, their own. Wallen barks out, takes the snap, drops straight back, looking. Here comes the pursuit. He tries to run. He's at the 40. Gets up to the 40-yard line, so he picks up 3 yards. It'll be a third down and 7 when Eli's come back out of the huddle, and another Penn player is down back at the 28-yard line. Adrian Puzio made the tackle for Nick, Penn on the play.
Nick, I mentioned at the beginning of the game that Penn has played 6 straight games on the turf, and oftentimes that takes its toll with bumps and bruises, and I notice a lot of Penn players now being injured. I wouldn't doubt if some of them were bumped coming into the game. Not making any excuses for him, but I'm just saying that's the way it is when you play on turf a lot.
Edward Gallen is the young man who is down for the University of Pennsylvania. Gets up under his own power, much to the delight of everybody. A little wobbly, but he's favoring a left leg, left ankle or left leg. Gallen is a 6'1", 255-pound junior from Fairlawn, New Jersey. Getting a good hand as he goes to the sideline. Under his own power, being assisted, but there's no way he can put any weight down on that left leg.
All right. Either a knee or an ankle, the way it looks.
And Yale is with a third down and 7. Now, third downs have usually been quite successful for Yale all season long. They've had their problems here this afternoon. Not problems, but you have to give credit to the Penn defense for the problem in being able to convert them. Double wide out on both sides for Yale on this third down and 7 at their own 40. They're running from the shotgun, operating from the shotgun. Screen pass over the middle, but read perfectly by the Penn defense. The intended receiver who caught it was Rashad Bartholomew, but he was dropped in his tracks immediately by the Penn defenders coming in.
He was eyeballing Rashad, and evidently he was on him man for man and in right place where they screamed.
Fred Plaza, the one who made the hit on Bartholomew. Eric Johnson now getting set to punt from his own 21-yard line. He'll have the wind at his back. He's a 42-yard average punter. Single safety back there for the University of Pennsylvania at the 28-yard line, waiting for the punt. Here's the snap from center. And Johnson gets a beauty. I mean a beauty. Down to the 10-yard line. Taking it to 10. Up to the 15. And down he goes.
That was a great great punt, great coverage by the Yale kicking team. They've been excellent all year in the kicking game, and it's really helped them in these victories.
55-yard punt by Eric Johnson. Fred Plaza was the one who returned it. Peter Mazza dropped him back there at the 14-yard line. So Penn takes the field offensively. Out in front of Yale, 16-13, with 13:27 to go. Penn owns a seven-game win streak over Yale. Penn coach Al Bignoli has never lost to Yale in his eighth season. Hoffman, the quarterback for Penn. Chris Ryan gets the call, comes across the 15, and drops at the 16-yard line. And that's one of the shortest carries he's had all afternoon.
That's right. Yale was ready for him, and they're starting to apply their own pressure now on that offensive 10 line.
Bill Thompson, the linebacker, who's had a great year, Carm, as a sophomore. This young man out of Jacksonville, Florida, has played some great defense for Yale.
He really has. He's third right now in tackles for the Yale defense. This is an outstanding Yale defense.
Second down and 8, Penn at the Penn 16. Now Hoffman wants to throw. It's complete up to about the 24-yard line and dropped out to 24. Is Colin Smith the split end?
I believe it's going to be short. It's going to be awfully close again.
Todd Tomich is the one who came in there to make the hit. And short of the first down, it'll be third down and less than a yard to go for the first down. Penn sends in fresh troops. Eli sends in Jeff White at linebacker.
Dick, I didn't get a chance to comment before, but I was surprised when Penn went for that field goal with less than a yard to go, but that just goes to show the respect they have for the Yale defense.
Third down, less than a yard to go. The handoff goes to who else? Mr. Ryan. He fumbles the football. He fumbled the football, and Yale recovers back at the 28-yard line of Penn. Eli Kelly covered the ball for Yale.
And that's a big break for Yale and one they really needed.
Eli Kelly. So Yale catches a break. They get a return now. As Yale, remember, it was Van Merrill who hit him, popped the ball loose. Remember, Yale fumbled on the 1-foot line to stop their drive in the first half. Eli's come out of the huddle now with a first down at the Penn 28-yard line. Double wide out on the right. Jake Fuller's out there wide on the right. Bartholomew again wind up as a receiver wide on the left side. Shotgun formation. Takes the snap. Wallen looks, trying to get away. Here comes the pursuit. He has no time. He's just going to be dropped back at about the 38-yard line. Adrian Puzio led the Penn defensive charge, the 5'11", 255-pound senior out of Montvale, New Jersey.
That's a big loss for Yale. That's close to, what,
huge loss.
Eight, 9 yards.
Second down and 19 now with the line of scrimmage back at the 37-yard line of Penn. Tommy McNamara comes in. Zittman goes out of the Yale lineup offensively. Keppel comes out of the huddle and goes wide on the right side. Eric Johnson's in a slot at the right. Jake Fuller is wide at the left. They're also slotted at the left as well with McNamara. Shotgun formation. Here's the snap. Here comes the rush. They fire complete at the 30 and down to the 26 or 7-yard line. Here goes Tommy McNamara, the receiver. Tommy McNamara from Savannah, Georgia, the young man with great hands.
That time, Penn really wasn't set, and Joe took advantage of it on a quick snap and hit Tommy going out of bounds. And, again, now it's third and about 7.
And Ellie Williams was the one who drove him out of bounds. He was the young man who was shaken up a while back, but he's back in the lineup. Out of the huddle, comes Yale, double wideouts again, left and right. Third down and 8 at the 26-yard line of Penn.
This is a big play for Yale now, Dick.
Joe Wallen operating again from the shotgun. Here's the snap. Here comes the rush. He fires for that corner. It is incomplete, and flag goes down at the 30-yard line, so we'll wait and see who the penalty is against. Anthony DeSalle covering on the play. Eric Johnson, the intended receiver. The flag dropped at about the 30-yard line. Referee comes over. He'll give us the indication in a second. The illegal procedure is the call against Yale. So the...
I don't know whether they're going to
accept or decline. Yeah. They decline the penalty.
Yeah, it'll be fourth.
Fourth down now, so Yale has a choice. Do you go for an attempted field goal to tie this up? Do you go on the 4th and 8? try to go for the first down, and they're going to go for the first down as they come out of the huddle with a double wide out on the left and the right. And now Jackson Blecky says go, field goal unit, and Mike Moravcek comes on the field for a field goal attempt to tie the ball game. Fourth down and 8. Moravcek's line of scrimmage will be the 32. This will be a 42-yard field goal attempt. And Peter Lee, the holder, decides to call timeout.
They were 1 second away from a 25-second penalty, Dick, and that was a wise call.
42 yards. I believe the only reason, Carm, correct me if I'm wrong, is the attempt at this field goal, and the only reason they're going for it is because the wind is at his back. This is a little bit, I would say, at the level of his range.
He has a very strong leg, and I really think it's the right call because they had quite a bit of, they had 7 yards to go for a first down.
Yep.
And the ball is on the left hash mark, and that's an advantage for a right-footed kicker. It's more difficult when it's on the right hash mark. And, Mike's fairly accurate. He was one of the best kickers we've had here. Like I said, he's closing in on Eddie First's all-time record.
He's 2-for-2 in field goals so far this afternoon.
And, Jack Zablicki isn't afraid to come up with a little take here and there,
right.
So anything can happen.
25 and 16 yards. Moravcek has successfully kicked field goals this afternoon. If he kicks this, this will be a 43-yard field goal attempt. Waiting for the snap from center. Here's the snap. Here's the spot. Here's the boot. He's got his foot into it. It's got distance. And it is good. And Mike Moravcek ties the ball game at 16.
Great kick by Mike. Like I say, that wind is a factor now.
And with the score, 16-0. We'll be back after this timeout. This is Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Hi there, it's me, Alyssa, again with a plea for perfection from Ed Grader's award-winning Hamden Chrysler Plymouth. My dad's worked his whole life to teach me to take pride in myself. As long as you did your very best, you'd say, that's good enough for me. Of course, there was the time I came home with that D-minus in history saying, Dad, I swear, it was the best I could do, in which case, I got grounded. Anyway, Ed Grader's never done anything halfway his whole life, a very tough act to follow. But that's why he's where he is today. It's also why he became the first Chrysler dealer in all of New England to become 5-star certified, privilege only granted to the best of the best. 5-star is a process, sort of like an audit, that each and every dealership has to go through. And Ed Grader's award-winning Hamden Chrysler Plymouth got it first. That allows them to use the new 5-star slogan. It's 5-star, it's better, we'll prove it. And they do. You should hear them try and say all that on the phone. Me, on the other hand, I've got my own slogan. It's more like, I'm Alyssa, I'm working on it, I'll get back to you. Now you know why he runs the dealership.
Ed Glader's award-winning Hamden Chrysler Plymouth.
By the way, how's the car?
Now, back to Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI.
And here we are back at the Yale Bowl, and do we have a thriller. 16-0, Yale and 10 in the fourth quarter, 11-10 remaining. Here's the kickoff by Yale coming down to Penn at the 10, up at the 15, the 20, the 25, the 30, the 35, the 40, the 45, and down at the 45 is Brandon Carson, the punt returner, kickoff returner for Pennsylvania, the 5'11", 190-pound senior out of Herndon, Pennsylvania, and it was Josh Phillips who finally dropped him because he had a head of steam, did Brandon Carson.
Now, they do a great job in kickoff returns, and that's why Yale, right up to this point, has been squibbing the ball, certainly into the wind. I think they thought they could kick it maybe into the end zone because the wind had picked up a little bit, but it didn't happen.
We have 11 minutes even remaining in the fourth quarter here at the Yale Bowl. Good crowd on hand, a wonderful afternoon for football, and the crowd is certainly seeing a thrilling football game. Hoffman, the quarterback, wants to throw. He goes down deep looking for Milanese. He's got it at the 25. Milanese down to the 20, inside the 20. It's his knee touched at the 20. Ben Blake brought him down, but that is the third time this afternoon that pass has worked. And that's a 30-some-odd-yard pass to Milanese.
Nick, I'll tell you, again, that's 1 inch either way of being intercepted. That ball was perfectly thrown right between Dan Merrill and Ben Blake. I mean, it was a perfectly executed pass.
And the transfer from Northwestern, The quarterback, 6'6", Gavin Hoffman, doing an outstanding job for Penn this afternoon. Double wideouts on the left. First and 10, Penn at the Yale 20-yard line. Ryan gets the call. He goes up the middle, 10-15, in the 10-yard line. Inside the 10, down to the 7-yard line. Josh Phillips makes the tackle. Well, that young man picks up a head of speed, and he picks up a Penn first down. It's goal to go for Pennsylvania from the 7-yard line of Yale.
They came right back, and now Penn, I would think, is going to try to hammer Ryan in that middle and off tackle. And of course, I think Yale knows this, and they're going to have to do everything they can to stop it.
As Penn comes out of the huddle, they put Smith out wide on the left side. They have a slot out there as well. First and goal to go from the 7. Hoffman takes the snap, hands it off straight ahead. Ryan gets the call, but he does not get beyond the line of scrimmage as Hockenbrock and Mahoney team up to bring him down. Maloney bring him down, rather. For Yale. So it'll be second down and goal to go.
That time they faked the pitch to the tailback and gave it to the fullback. It looked like they had Ryan up at the fullback spot.
That's what they did. They moved him into the fullback spot. Right. Now it is a second down and goal to go, as there was no gain on that play.
Yeah, last year, like I said, Dick, he was a fullback, so it's not a new position for him. Now he's back at the tailback spot.
And Cosmello is there on a wing, the fullback. Carson goes in motion to the left side. Hoffman takes the snap, rolls out, fires incomplete at the 3-yard line. He was looking for Cosmello, the fullback. Peter Mazza was covering on the play for Yale. Now it is a third down and goal to go for Penn at the 7. The proto comes in. Josh Phillips comes into the Yale secondary.
This is a real big play now. Yale can hold them here and force a field goal, and they don't have the good angle. They're on the right hash mark.
Out of the huddle comes Penn. Now they send 5 men to the sideline. 5 men come in. Down, goal to go from the 6-yard line of Yale. Penn with the football, take the snap. Hand it off to Ryan. He gets to the 5-yard line and no more. No more, because Peter Sarantos is there to hit him head on. That time he could not go any farther.
I thought he might have popped the ball there, but he didn't.
Then Blake gets off the bottom of that pile. Tom Joya checks in on defensively for Yale, a defensive tackle, a 6'2", 250-pound junior for Yale from Valparaiso, Indiana. Now the field goal attempt by Penn. Field goal of 22 yards. Feinberg waiting for the snap. Here's the snap, the spot, the boot. It is up. It is long enough. It is good. And Penn goes out in front of Yale, 19-16. And we'll be back after this 30-second timeout. This is Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Whatever your business banking needs, come to New Haven Savings Bank. It's New Haven Savings Bank's business to provide your business with banking services tailored to fit your unique needs. You'll get courteous, prompt attention, and fast decisions from a banker you can call anytime, and from a bank that's been here for a century and a half. New Haven Savings Bank, a very nice business bank. Stop in or call 203-789-2683. That's 789-2683. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Now back to Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Back here at the bowl, Jason Feinberg has just kicked his 4th field goal of the afternoon for Pennsylvania. Mike Corwin, you're down on the sideline.
Well, Dick, you couldn't have a more enthusiastic crowd. The student section, obviously, certainly into it. All the people have gotten what they wanted. Ever since Yale forced that fumble on Ryan a few minutes ago, the crowd has really been into it. And, of course, they're hoping to have a lot more to cheer about in the next few minutes. Back up to you.
Well, Jason Feinberg has had himself one whale of an afternoon, Carmen, with 4 field goals for the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, both teams' kicking game is an excellent pick, and it may boil down to who has the ball last. Both defenses are bending, but they're not breaking. They're not giving the touchdown. They're forced to kick the field goal.
And Yale's Mike Morazek has 3 field goals on the afternoon, so Feinberg will be kicking off. Keith Rains is down there deep for Yale, along with Jake Fuller. Here's the kick into the wind. Comes high down to Fuller at the 15. Gets up to the 20. The 25 goes straight ahead and gets up to the 30-yard line before he's punched down at the 35-yard line.
You can see the wind taking that ball now, and it is an advantage for Yale now to have the wind at their back. I'm sure they're going to take full advantage of it.
Adrian Altman made the tackle on the kick return for the University of Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania, with 8:32 remaining in the fourth quarter, has a 3-point lead over Yale, 19-16. Both of these teams came in tied for first in the Ivy League with 2-1 records. Yale out of the huddle. Again, it's the four receivers. Two on the left, two on the right. Lone back is Bartholomew. Keith Green's in the lineup, comes from the right slot, moves to the left. They fire out to him. He gets up to the 30. He gets up to the 35 and is driven out of bounds at the 35-yard line by Anthony DeSalle. And that's a gain of five. So it'll be second down and five for Yale when they come out of the huddle.
Yale is executing that play to perfection. They're swinging the back outside a little bit, and or the receiver, I should say. And they're cracking back on the defensive linebacker and defensive corner.
Sophomore Jimmy Keppel checks back in at fullback. He's been amazing this afternoon with the receptions that he's made. Had over 120 yards in receptions in the first half. Triple wideout this time by Yale on the right side on the second down and five at their own 35. Operating from the shotgun. Here comes the rush. Wallen rolls out to the right. Fires complete at the 49-yard line to Captain Jake Fuller. And that's the first down for Yale at midfield almost as Anthony DeSalle covered him on the play, but not before the captain made the big reception.
Big play. A great throw by Joe. It was low. They could, no way they could intercept it. And he knew he was going to get hit when he released it.
And, of course, a difficult throw being the left-hander rolling to the right.
That is correct.
Yale out of the huddle quickly with the first down at the midfield stripe. This time double wide out for the Elis on the left side. Bartholomew, the lone back in the backfield. Six men up in the box for Pennsylvania. Bartholomew straight ahead, gets in, lunges another yard down to about the 47-yard line. Picks up 3 yards on the carry.
That's a quick hitter, Dick, and it looks like they might be trapping that because of Yale's, Penn's aggressive front down lineman, and that's a very good play because they catch him going north and south.
Puzio and Hisgin on a stop for the University of Pennsylvania. Bartholomew comes out of the lineup, as does Keppel. Fuller goes back in the lineup. Tommy McNamara is in the Yale lineup. He'll be a slot at the left side as they come out of the huddle, and Fuller's out wide on the left. Second down and seven, Yale, at the 47-yard line of Pennsylvania. Operating from the shotgun. Here comes the rush, and Wallen tries to go. He's going to run. He's at the 45. He's at the 40. He's at the 35. He's at the 30. He cuts left, and he's going to go down at the 29-yard line of Pennsylvania. Anthony DeSalle with an ankle tackle from behind saved a Yale touchdown right there. And Joe Wallen with some heady running and good running. He ran like a halfback on that play because he was hit twice.
He's worth his weight in gold there. He was caught behind the line of scrimmage. Receivers recovered, and Joe makes something happen out of nothing. That's a great effort by him.
Head out in front, 19-16, 7:03 remaining in this football game. Out of the huddle come the Elis with the first down at the Penn 29. Split left, split right. High formation. Balling with the count. Takes the snap. Takes the draw. Looking. Rolls out to the right again. This time he's going to run again. He's at the 25. He's at the 20. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's going to score! Joe Wallen is just going 29 yards to put Yale out in front of Pennsylvania with 6:41 remaining in the fourth quarter. A great run by Joe Wallen.
What a great run by Joe Wallen. Reversed his field, went all the way back, picked up some key blocks, and got the ball in the end zone. That series belongs to number 7, Joe Wallen. That whole touchdown is his.
And Marasek now with the extra point attempt. Waiting for the snap. Here's the snap to spot the boot. It's up in the air. It is good. A very important extra point. And the score is Yale 23, Penn 19. We'll be back after this 30-second timeout. This is Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Richter's, one of the oldest bars in New Haven, is proud to offer Guinness, plus an extensive selection of draft beers, as well as Connecticut's largest selection of single malt scotch and specialty whiskeys. Richter's, it's a cozy bar with 100-year-old oak paneling, serving pub-style fare Monday through Saturday until 9 p.m. Brunch is served on Sundays. Discover what many business people already know. Richter's is the best lunch bargain downtown, with great Reubens and burgers. Richter's, located right on the green in downtown New Haven.
Now, Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
And here we are back at the Yale Bowl. Dick Nellie and Carm Crozier. Mike Corwin, what's it like on the sideline?
Obviously, a lot of excitement, Dick. You know, the amazing thing about Joel Wallen is he makes two huge plays in a row. He comes off the field, he's hardly even smiling, he's hardly even excited. For him, it's just business as usual. Everybody going nuts around him, but he keeps his cool, goes over and talks about the next series. Just an incredible person and player.
He's a remarkable young man, and that's his demeanor. He's got that cool, calm, poised look all the time, right, Carm?
He really does. Yep. He makes things happen. They have so much confidence in him. They just feel when he's in there, we're going to score. Something good is going to happen. And, you know, if it gets muddy, like I said, in there, he just seems to come up with a big play at the right time.
Well, I said that that extra point was important because that was the point differential that means a tie for a field goal, but Penn has to go for a touchdown to get out in front. Here's the kickoff by Justin Davis coming down to the goal line. Taking it to goal line up 5, the 10, the 15, and leveled at the 20-yard line by Andy Cozzolino is Brandon Carson. I mean, Cozzolino put a hit on him at the 20-yard line. So that's where Penn will go to work now. Trailing Yale 23-19. And what has been a seesaw game all afternoon from the opening series in the first quarter. 6:32 to go in this fourth quarter. Yale with a 5-1 overall record, 2-1 in the Ivy. Penn 2-1 in the Ivy, 3-3 overall. It's the Ivy record that counts. They give it to Ryan. Chris Ryan goes off the left side, and I mean the Yale defense on the right side is waiting for him, and he gets to the line of scrimmage and maybe fights for a yard. Five blue jerseys, led by Peter Sarandos and Bill Thompson and Eli Kelly, bring him down.
Wallen now has 290 passing yards and 59 running yards, 349 total. Unbelievable day for Joe Wallen.
That is.
Very good defensive team.
Second down and 8 for Penn at the 23-yard line, their own. Yale with a 23-19 lead. They watch the throw. He fires over the middle complete at the 35-yard line. I mean, wide open was Zagorski, Ben Zagorski, the big tight end, who has the first touchdown of the game when he was on the other end of a four-yard Gavin Hoffman pass. Peter Mazza dropped him, but not before Penn picks up the first down on that pass reception.
Nick, he's like thrown to a big elm tree. He's 6'7".
That's right. Penn split on the left side. They come in motion from the left side. Line of scrimmage is their own 37. They hand it off to Chris Ryan. He goes off that left side, gets to the 40. Maybe the 41, but picks up a tough 3 yards on the play as he is dropped down there. Peter Maloney was in on the stop for Yale, along with Todd Tomich, the cornerback on the left side.
Yale's doing a real good job now of closing off that backside where they've gotten a little bit of counter action with Ryan, doing a great job.
Second down and 6 for Penn at their own 41-yard line. Out of the huddle come the Quakers. Carson comes out wide on the right side. The lone back is Chris Ryan. They're wide on the left. One player wants to call timeout. Another player snapped the ball. There's no flag on the play. They're giving Penn the timeout.
Dick, I have some scores. Final score, Harvard 63, Dartmouth 21. Fourth period, Cornell 31, Wagner 14. Fourth period, Brown 30, Fordham 18. Fourth period, Princeton 31, Columbia 15.
Well, as we said, there's going to be some changes in the Ivy League this afternoon, although the key games with Cornell and Brown, they weren't playing league opponents this afternoon. Here with 4:46 remaining in the football game, Yale has a 4-point lead over the University of Pennsylvania. Penn has the football with a second down and 6 at their own 41-yard line.
This is the crucial game in the league today, no doubt about it. Both teams with only one loss. Both teams doing extremely well on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game. If you come up with a win here, like I said earlier, they can win. The rest of them doesn't mean they will, and I know the players have to get up for every ball game.
And now, out of the huddle, as we're about ready to resume with the time. Play clock is running down. Second down and 6 at the 41. They're split on the left and the right. They hand it off to Chris Ryan. Chris Ryan wants to cut back left, and he is going to be short of the first down as he gets to the 45, maybe the 46-yard line, a 5-yard pickup. Peter Maloney, who has just been outstanding in these last few series of the ball game, and Todd Tomich, bringing him down. Yards short of the first down.
He's got about third and one to go here, Dick.
Yep, and it's not a long one either.
I'll be very surprised if they don't make it, they don't go for it here.
Third down and the one. Out of the huddle they come. Smith goes out wide on the left side. They're also split on the right side. Chris Ryan, the lone back. And they fake to him. Hoffman wants to throw. Fires over the middle. It's complete for the first down to Smith. He's got it at the 45. Inside the 45 with Yale driven out of bounds at about the 42. Todd Tomich comes up along with Bill Thompson to drive him out of bounds. But Penn picks up a first down, keeps their drive hopes alive.
That was a surprise play. I think everybody in the stadium thought he was going to give it to Chris Ryan because he needed less than a yard to go. But it was a play-action pass, and he put it right on the money.
3:56 to go in the fourth quarter. Penn with a first down at the Yale 41. They trail by four. 23-19.
They need a touchdown. 3 points doesn't do them any good.
And they're capable of striking from any point on the field. Hoffman can throw the football. He drops straight back. Here comes the rush, and he's going to be sacked, and he fumbles, but Penn covers the football back at the 49. Andy Tuzzolino popped it loose. And the ball was covered by Todd Giblin, the offensive right guard for Pennsylvania.
I tell you, Andy Tuzzolino makes things happen. He has had a tremendous year this year.
That he does. And I believe Andy's shaken up on the play. The 6'1", 220-pound senior from Mission Viejo, California, who has been superb all year for the Elies. 3 minutes and 35 seconds showing on the clock.
He's been playing with a cast on his hand to boot, which makes it even more difficult to tackle, but he's so tenacious and he's so aggressive.
It'll be a second down and 20 for Penn when play does resume. Andy's a tough kid. You and I both know that. I mean, they don't come any tougher than he. And he's sitting up right now. Probably doesn't know what day of the week it is, but he's sitting. Mike Corwin, you're down there. What do you hear?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get it. I probably don't have any better angle than you right now, Dick, but I have heard a lot of people stressing the fact that you got to keep the intensity up. The ball game is not over. Obviously, this is the most crucial drive, but everybody here on the sidelines in the stands really trying to pump up the defense and, you know, have them do the job here in the last 2 minutes.
Okay, Mike, thank you. Eli Kelly trots to the sidelines. Andy Tuzzolino gets up under his own power, walking unassisted off the field. And the biggest problem now is trying to keep him out of the lineup after this one play, right, Carl?
Oh, yeah. He'll be jumping at the bit. He'll want in there right away. There's no doubt about it.
For sure. Second down and 20 for Penn. Now, remember, they have been very successful with that deep pass over the middle, Carm, and Milanese and to Zagorski both.
They're in a gun formation now, and they have three wideouts to their right.
And here's the snap. And a screen is knocked down by Jeff Hockenbrock. They wanted to set up a screen, and Jeff Hoffenbrock, if he was able to hang on, would have had himself a touchdown with anybody laying a glove on him. He batted that ball down as Hoffman, who is 6'6", tried to throw over the 6'6", Jeff Hockenbrock.
And Jeff got up off his feet, and like you said, Dick, had he caught it, it would have been 6 points for Yale.
Third down and 20 now for Pennsylvania. They're going from the shotgun. There's double wide out on the left, split on the right. Gavin Hoffman, the quarterback, takes the snap, drops back. Here comes the rush. He's firing downfield deep. Intercepted by Yale at the 30, the 35. And that is Todd Tolan with the interception. And Tolan Smith was the intended receiver. Todd Tolan has picked off his fifth interception of the year.
Not only has he been doing a great job in interceptions, Dick, but he broke Gary Fentick's punt return record of 485 yards. And he has 12 career interceptions.
And the fifth one this season for Todd Tomich. And boy, has he been Mr. Money. 3 minutes and 18 seconds left to play in this fourth quarter. Yale with the football and a four-point lead at their own 36-yard line. Double wide out on the left side. Bartholomew, the lone back in the backfield. Joey Wallen hands it off to Bartholomew. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. He's at midfield. He's at 10 territory, stutter-stepping, trying to go right, and he goes down at the 47-yard line with a big gainer. 15 yards by Bartholomew. Steve Maroney finally able to stop him.
Big play by Rashad that time. Yale needed that to get out of that area. Now they're in four down territory.
Thomas' 12th interception career ties the Yale record. Yale with a big first down. Tommy McNamara comes into the huddle now. Eric Johnson goes to the sideline. Eli breaks from the huddle, led by center David Farrell. That front line of Yale, Metzler, Sproul, Farrell, Elwell, Proto, doing an outstanding job this afternoon. Keppel, the fullback, goes out wide on the right side. They hand, they have a collision in the backfield. Bartholomew spins away from the young flock. Comes inside the 40, down to the 38-yard line. There was a mix-up on the handoff. He spun away from it. Got away from the defenders. Gets down to the 38-yard line.
That was fortunate for you. That could have been a fumble, but Rashad grabbed onto it and stayed with it. Now Penn's calling a timeout.
Al Tapatuli was the one who made the stop on Bartholomew, or else he would have been gone.
That's right. Sometimes a busted play results in something really good happening. And that was one of those situations. Joe Walland is a natural at making something happen when something like that goes wrong.
Mike Corwin, they should be all fired up down on that sideline.
Oh, absolutely, Dick. Especially the defensive guys. After Tomlinson's interception, you couldn't believe the reception that he got coming here off the field, really from all the guys. They're incredibly pumped up, and they know just a couple more minutes left here. Most of the fans on their feet for most of these last couple minutes, too.
Yale, again, with a four-point lead, 23-19. It was back and forth all during this game, and until Joey Wallen scampered 29 yards for the touchdown to put Yale back out in front. But anybody that thinks this game is over is sadly mistaken. Not with 2 minutes and 30 seconds and the capability of both of these teams to strike from any point on the field. Yale with the football. Second down and two for the first down. Line of scrimmage is the 39-yard line of Penn. Out of the huddle they come. Eric Johnson goes out wide on the right side. Jake Fuller wide on the left. The I formation. Deep man is Bartholomew in the eye. Wallen barks out his signals. He plunges straight ahead himself, and I believe he's picked up the first down. Joe Wallen, straight ahead on the keeper. And they unpile now, waiting for the official to make his move and give the call. First down, Yale. Again, Joe Wallen. Mayer and Puzio credited with the stop. But Joe Wallen, who is 5'11", 205 pounds, pushed that line the 2 yards back that he needed.
This is vital now because Yale is playing the clock. They're trying to run that clock down the best they can, even if they don't get the score. They don't want Penn to have enough time to score.
Wallen has split on the left side, hands it off to Bartholomew. He cracks across the line of scrimmage inside the 35, down to about the 33, and here comes a flag by Fleming Norcott. Hassani White makes the stop. And pile.
It looks like it's against Penn. Might have been a face match.
And the umpire and the referee are conferring. We'll wait for the call from the officials. The umpire is Edwin Shanahan, and the referee is Herbert Staten.
It is face mask.
Face mask is the call against Penn. We might point out, I know we've not said this all afternoon, I mean, Fleming Norcott, who is the official down there, is Judge Fleming Norcott. Well-known jurist in the state of Connecticut, an outstanding man. He just loves to do football. He's never retired from football. He just loves to be a football official. That's his hobby. And the rest of the week, he wears the black robe sitting on the bench. First down and four for the first down for Yale as Eric Johnson comes in from the sideline for the Eli. Next week, we'll take the journey to Ithaca, New York, a short ride up the turnpike.
Play another team that only has one loss in the league. So,
but this one is still not over.
That's
with a
right.
Minute and 35 seconds to go. Yale with a first and four on the 30. And straight ahead, gets to the line, not to the line of scrimmage, I don't believe, as Puzio is there, as Bartholomew stopped head on.
Another timeout by Penn, I believe. They're fighting the clock as well now.
I want to point something out, Carm, and that is that The transfer of Mike Germino, an outstanding football player for University of Pennsylvania, came into the game today with 30 tackles, 6 sacks, and 1 fumble recovery. But that offensive line for Yale has done an outstanding job because this man has not been a record for Penn on defense in getting to the quarterback this afternoon, although he's played a whale of the game.
That's right. And you've got to give Yale offensive lineman credit for trying to hold him up. They did have a siege there in the beginning of the third period and in the first period where they were putting a lot of pressure on Joe. But Joe makes things happen back there, and he takes advantage sometimes of over-aggressiveness from the down line and with him keeping the ball when the receivers are gone and also running a quick pass play in there.
Elwell and Proto are doing an outstanding job in holding him at bay this afternoon. Yale, second down and 3 at the 29 of Penn. Hand it off to Bartholomew. He gets it down to the 25 and is stacked up at the 25 after a 4-yard gain.
That's going to be close to a first.
They're at a first. Oh, it should be shorter. It'll be less than a yard for the first. That'll be a third down coming up and less than a yard to go for the first down.
They're going
to
measure it, Dick. It's that close.
And a minute 17 showing on the clock. If you've just joined us, Yale is out in front of Penn, 23-19. In 2 of the 5 teams in the Ivy League who only have 1 loss on the season, meeting each other this afternoon, Penn and Yale. Now the stakes are brought in, they're stretched out. And Yale gets the touch of the football. It's a first down, Yale. And the entire Yale offensive unit jumps up and down because they know it gives them another 4 downs, and that should do it maybe this afternoon in this game. They are jumping up and down on the sideline. Look at Sorrento. He is just beside himself jumping up and down. He's played a whale of a game on defense. That has most of the Yale defense.
My guess is they'll just try to run this out now.
If this holds up, Yale will then have beaten the only team they have not been able to beat since Jack Sedlecki came to Yale. And they're going to run down the clock. That's all they're going to do. Take the snap and kneel down. That's what Joe Wallen does. And the clock is at 48 seconds and running down. Yale students on their feet, below us to the right. A hard-fought football game this afternoon. And Yale is going to pick up its 6th win of the season in 33 seconds. And they're going to pick up their 3rd Ivy League win in 28 seconds. And the clock is still running down. Penn came in here with one thing in mind, to pin Yale's ears back. The Eli's refused to submit. And Joe Wallen, the hero of this football game this afternoon, takes the snap. And that probably will do it. And it does. As the Yale football team comes out on the side of the field, Jack Sedlecki heads to the sideline to shake hands with a dear friend of his, Al Bagnoli, whose 7-game win streak against Yale has come to an end. And Yale has just beaten Penn 23-19. We'll be back after this 30-second timeout. This is Yale football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Football on News Talk 960 WELI, New Haven.
News flash from Hamden Town Hall. Mayor Barbara A. DiNicola announced today that the town has received another $500,000 from Governor Rowland in state grant money. This money is targeted for the revitalization of the Highwood neighborhood, which is often referred to as the gateway to Hamden. The grant is the shot in the arm the Highwood neighborhood desperately needs for community development and revitalization. This money, combined with past grants, adds up to over $5 million DiNicola has brought into Hamden.
Re-elect Mayor Barbara DiNicola headquarters.
I just want to call to thank Mayor DiNicola because she kept her promise to promote economic development.
That's true. After only 22 months in office, Mayor DiNicola's economic plan is paying off for Hamden. New businesses like Bonton, Kohl's Department Store, Applebee's, TJ Maxx and more, Valley Fitness Center, and SNET Call Center are just a few of the new businesses that are creating new jobs and increasing our tax base, which can lead towards lower taxes.
Paid for by re-elect Mayor Barbara DiNicola Committee, Michael Boardman, Treasurer.
You're listening to Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI, New Haven.
Well, here we are back at the Yale Bowl and a happy Yale crowd gathered on the field as they usually do, pour out of the stadium, out of the stands, and the Yale team, as is their tradition under Coach Jack Sedlecki, does not retreat from the field immediately. He gives them his comments, whether it's a win, lose, or a tie. And today it's a victory, 23-19, the sixth victory of the season for Yale. Carm, before we get into real specifics, what's your immediate just reaction to the game here?
Well, it was a great game. I think it's what everyone had anticipated. Two very good, well-balanced teams going at each other, and the score was an indication of that. Both teams very sound on defense, and both teams have an array of offensive plays that could create problems. Both teams excellent in the kicking game, and Yale was just a touch better than Penn, and they deserved the victory, in my opinion. Of course, you hate to keep pointing on one person, but Joe Wallen made the big plays when he had to. But the Yale defense also kept Penn from scoring the touchdowns. And you got to say the same for the Penn defense. You know, up until that last touchdown, it was all field goals. Up until, you know, with except for that first quarter.
21 points in his ball game are attributed to field goals.
Yeah.
Penn had four field goals, and Mike Moravcic of Yale, the All-Ivy and All-New England place kicker of a year ago, he had three successful field goals this afternoon.
All right.
He came in 7-for-9, so now he's 10-for-12 on the season. Mike Moravcic doing an outstanding job in that category for the Eli. Well, let me review, Carm, how the scoring occurred in this game. It was Penn who got up on the scoreboard first, took the opening drive of the football game after Yale had won the toss and elected to defer to the second half. They scored on a four-yard pass from Hoffman to Zagorski, the tight end, at the 3:15 mark of the first period. Jason Feinberg, who kicked all the extra points, was successful, and Penn led 7-0. Yale came back on and got on the scoreboard at the 8:27 mark on a 25-yard field goal by Mike Moravcic that made it 7-3. Then that was the score at the end of the first period. In the second period, Moravcic connected for Yale on a 16-yard field goal. Yale pulled to within one. They trailed Penn 7-6 to 5:57. Penn came back with a 34-yard field goal by Feinberg, and they went out in front of Yale 10-6 at the 8:35 mark. Yale scored then at a 5-yard TD pass from Joe Wallen to Eric Johnson at 13:10 of the second period, and Yale led 13-10 at the half. In the third quarter, Penn connected on another 38-yard field goal by Feinberg, and they tied the game at 13-all at 5:19 of the third quarter. And that's how the third quarter, Penn added one more field goal before the third quarter ended at 14:55. Actually, the clock ran out as they completed the field goal and went out in front of Yale 16-13 at the end of the third period. In the fourth quarter, a 43-yard field goal by Yale's Moravcic tied the game at 16-all. That was at the 3:48 mark, and that, of course, was his third field goal of the ball game. Penn came back with a 22-yard field goal, and they trailed and went out in front of Yale 19-16 at the 5:19 mark. But then Yale put a drive together, and Joe Wallen, with the most electrifying run of the afternoon, scampered 29 yards. You named the direction, and Joe Wallen went in that direction on that 29-yard run. And that was all that Yale needed, and came out victorious 23-19 over Penn. And we'll be back after this 30-second timeout. This is Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Tired of the same old thing when it comes to New Haven restaurants? Tibwin Grill is just the answer for a fun night out. Tibwin serves food and wine not found elsewhere.
To take care of.
When you started your Yale career, this has to be the kind of stuff that you dreamed about.
Absolutely. Especially considering maybe the Dartmouth game last year, the Brown game this year. Just those close sniffs in the bottom that we take in the face. It's nice to give it someone in the face for once.
Mike.
Congratulations, Pete. Terrific job.
Mike.
All right. Guys back upstairs, shoot at Peter Saranto.
Okay, Mike Carlin, thank you very much. I didn't know if you were able to hear me or not. I wanted to get his assessment of Chris Ryan, the tailback for University of Pennsylvania, who ran so hard this afternoon. But thank you for a great interview with one of the stars of this game defensively. Carmen, I saw you shaking your head there. when as only young men can do in recapping or describing something, referred to not having beaten us in the Carter administration.
He's the guy, Dick. I think I may have told you that there's a moratorium we have with our freshmen, and they're supposed to go to the various events, and he comes out on a bus with his golf clubs on his hand, and I said, where are you going?
And he said, well, the seniors said they weren't important. I said, get back on the bus and get back there.
This was his freshman year?
Yeah.
Well, it's a happy crowd here at the bowl.
They should be. They deserve it. It was a great win for the Yale players. I'm really happy for these seniors that worked so hard. They came close last year, but didn't win it all. And they've got a chance now to do it. But they know as well as anyone they've got to win three in a row because one more loss could probably knock them out of the championship. There may be an outside chance of a tie, but more than likely not. If history repeats itself, Dick, going back to my first 3 years, hopefully Jack will be able to do the same. We lost our opener and won all the rest and won the Ivy League championship, and I'm hoping that's what happens this year.
Well, let's certainly hope so. We have one more commercial to take, and then we'll wrap it up back here. But let us, with the score, Yale 23 and Penn 19, we'll come back here with our postgame show after this 60-second timeout. This is Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI.
When your guests outnumber your guest rooms, remember the Quality Inn Conference Center, New Haven. Located at exit 59 off the Merritt Parkway, only a long field goal from the Yale Bowl. The Quality Inn is an ideal retreat for visiting family and friends, or hold your next meeting in our conference center. Perfect for the small board meetings to large functions of 300 people. Call today for reservation, 1-800-4-CHOICE. Our family cares about yours. A Schaefer Hotel property serving the Yale community for over 30 years.
At New Haven Savings Bank, we do everything we can to make your business banking quicker, easier, and more convenient. We've got business-friendly extended hours at our branches and drive-up tellers. Night depositories, too. And whatever other business services you need to keep your business humming, you'll find them at New Haven Savings Bank, a very nice business bank.
New Haven Savings Bank.
It's a very nice bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Now, back to Yale Football on News Talk 960 WELI.
Back here at the Yale Bowl, Dick Elliott, Carm Croza, Mike Carlin, and they've just handed us some final statistics and scores. Carm, why don't you bring us up to date?
Well, as I said earlier, Dick, Harvard beat Dartmouth 63-21. Cornell beat Wagner 31-14. Brown beat Fordham 37-18. And Princeton beat Columbia 44-15. Statistically, it was very close as far as time of possession. The Bulldogs had a 28.29 and the Quakers 31.31. Yardage per play, the Quakers had 340 or 5.1 average, Bulldogs 444. Ryan rushing had 166 net yardage. Bartholomew had 90 net. Passing, Hoffman had 200 yards. Wallen had 290. Receiving, Keppel, unbelievable today. 9 receptions for 160 yards. Milanese had 3 receptions for 71 yards. And, of course, Tomich came up with a big key interception. Johnson punting went up a few points again. He's 43.5, his longest is 54. So all in all, it was a great game for Yale. Kick returns, Fuller had 5 for 98 yards. His longest was 28 with 19.6 average. And both teams had a fumble, unfortunately, for Bartholomew. He probably would have had a score on that one, but he made up for it with excellent running beside that.
Okay, so that wraps it up here from the Yale Bowl. Before we sign off, I want to give our thanks, of course, to Mike Corwin, our sideline reporter, George DeMeo with our up-to-date halftime reports, as usual, every week, Tom Ivanovich, our booth engineer, Scott Alexander, our studio producer, Mark Rothman, our spotter, who's really on top of it, and Steve Kahn, Yale Sports Information Director. A big, hearty, well done, and thank you to him for all those stats and those little bits of information throughout the game this afternoon. We really, really appreciate that. So that's it to hear from the Yale Bowl, and one more time, it is Yale 23, Penn 19. So until next Saturday when we're at Ithaca, New York, this is Dick Elliott for Carm Croza and Mike Corwin saying good afternoon, everybody.